Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. It is Wednesday, the 30th day of March, 2011. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. We have Gerald Celente joining us on the news yesterday that areas that were previously seen as immune to housing prices dropping has actually accelerated in their drop, and that is pulling down the rest of the housing market across the United States. All other major commodities, of course, are increasing in price right now due to global dollar devaluation. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts will join us in the last 30 minutes of the third hour. He's got a new article out today at Infowars.com titled "Obama Takes American Hypocrisy to New Levels," dealing with the situation in Libya. And we also have Levi Smith, who runs a tattoo parlor in Phoenix, Arizona. More and more across the country, they're getting digital barcode tattoos so people can access them with their smartphones and purchase things with them, and they just think it's absolutely wonderful. And so we're going to be talking to Levi Smith coming up in 30 minutes for just one segment or so. Here's the big news, and it's really not new news to our audience, but it confirms what we said 2 weeks ago, or more than 2 weeks ago now, on that Monday, 3 days after the disaster began, on the 11th of March, that Fukushima number 1, 2, and 3 were in critical situation. Later in that week, they admitted that the reactor cores had been breached in at least two of the stricken earthquake tsunami ravaged reactors at the Fukushima 6 reactor facility. And these are the headlines. Fukushima nuke plant now in full meltdown. It's melted, the Japanese government admits, completely through the containment steel container, through the concrete, and is now below the facility and boiling through the water table and sending out record levels of radiation, is the reports. Fukushima nuke plant now in full meltdown. Reactor number 2, we've already seen partial Chernobyl explosions in the aggregate, dwarfing Chernobyl, according to many top radiation experts and nuclear physicists. But now we have the London Guardian headline, Japan may have lost the race to save nuclear reactor. May have lost. They admit it's melted down through the vessel, and it could explode, not in an atomic explosion. Some physicists argue that they could, but in a Chernobyl off-gassing of incredible levels of uranium and other isotopes. Here's Mike Adams' report on it. Fukushima beyond point of no return as radioactive core melts through containment vessel. Business Insider, Fukushima, record high levels of radioactive iodine detected in the ocean nearby. Concentrations 3,355 times. The legal limit was identified in seawater sample near the plant. Japan's Nuclear Safety Agency said today this is the highest contamination yet of the radioactive iodine. And of course, they've been reporting since Sunday, now 4 days ago, 100,000 times safe levels near the plant of uranium and plutonium. Continuing here, cesium fallout from Fukushima already rivals Chernobyl, and this boil-down blog has links to New Scientist, you name it. So all breaking that down for you. We'll be getting into more details after the break. Just amazing hoax going on as well. I shot a video last night that's going to be out later today dealing with the fact that it's 100% public that Al-Qaeda does work for the military-industrial complex. But the media is now saying that Anwar al-Awlaki, the head of al-Qaeda, is praising what's happening in Libya and other areas. Well, of course he's praising it. He works for the Pentagon, hangs out there continually. We have Fox News headline, Anwar al-Awlaki meeting secretly at the Pentagon. So all of that is going on. U.S. NATO commander admits that al-Qaeda is the rebel forces. It's all coming up. Stay with us.
One, two, three. young, I was the nicest guy I knew. I thought I was the chosen one. But time went by and I found out a thing or two. My shine wore off as time wore on. I thought that I was living out the perfect life. But in the lonely hours when the truth begins to bite, I thought about the times when I turned my back and stalled. I ain't no nice guy after all. When I was young, the only game in town. I thought I had it down for sure. The time went by and I was lost in what I found. The reasons blurred the way I'm sure.
Thank you for joining us, my friends. It is Wednesday, the 30th day of March, 2011. And we do have Gerald Celente joining us, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former head of policy at the Treasury, to cover the news coming out yesterday and today of record housing price drops, this time in areas that were seen as invulnerable and basically immune from housing price drops. And that also follows general increases in housing prices decreasing. Also, consumer confidence is being registered as the lowest in modern history. But the government and the media, the dominant dinosaur media that's less and less dominant, are busy telling us that the economy is back and is great. And I, last night watching CNBC, actually saw them on there saying it's no big deal if oil prices go up. That's just something else being purchased in the economy, and that will go to American businesses. I know the lion's share of it goes to the Saudi Arabians and the big oil companies. The OPEC made over $1 trillion last year. That was the headline in Reuters yesterday. So that is some of what we're going to be breaking down. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have a tattoo shop owner who put special barcode, high-tech barcode, tattoos on people so they can buy and sell with a wave of their hand, or if it's on their forearm, a wave of their forearm, or on their face, purchasing with it. And it's the coolest, trendiest thing to do. Next, I guess jumping off cliffs will be the coolest and trendiest thing to do. According to Ann Coulter, the people of Fukushima should be thankful they'll never get cancer now. This is a cancer cure. Of course, the Japanese government admits that 5 hours around the plant will give you 5,000 millisieverts. That kills roughly, statistically, half the people that come in contact with it within just a week or two. And that was reported on the Washington Post yesterday. And they now have 100,000 times safe levels of radiation, 3,000 plus times the legal level of radioactive iodine now in the ocean nearby. And one of the main reactors has now gone through total meltdown and melted through the steel container, through the floor, and into the aquifer beneath it. There's an aquifer there beneath it. It's just absolutely horrible news, but it doesn't matter because, like Karl Rove says, the government and the media, they believe they control reality. And they call those of us that know the truth the reality-based community. I read those quotes. But they are creating an unreality. And as Joseph Goebbels said, good propaganda isn't sophisticated. It's simple, and it talks to people's laziness, their inherent wish to just rationalize and obfuscate procrastinate and deny that something's bad. And radiation detectors now, as far away as Russia, have now picked up radiation that's now pretty much circled the globe. In another week or so, it's estimated that it will have circled the entire globe. And the stuff released 18, 19 days ago on the 11th of March, it's now the 30th, will be over Tokyo once again. So we'll go all the way around the world. Of course, its first stop is Japan and then the Pacific Ocean and then North America. And according to the media, according to the Japanese government, for the first 2 weeks, they kept school in nearby. They are telling the people, go ahead and drink the water. It's fine. Everything's great. Now they're saying, actually, we covered up. Don't drink the water. Don't eat the food. And the food's running out. The bottled water ran out a week ago. And all of that is continuing to unfold. And we'll be talking about this off and on throughout the broadcast with Gerald Celente, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, and others. But the average trendy in America is not really worried about it. They're wanting to get the newest barcode tattoo. And in this newscast we're going to play in the next segment, the young woman laying there getting the tattoo says, it's mine. Only I have this tattoo. It's mine. I mean, just talk about a lamb to the slaughter. Just no idea about history, about the IBM barcode numbers entered into the Hollerith. IBM machines where Hitler tracked the people in the slave camps to decide how much to feed them, how much to work them, and to keep track of them. And then the computer would tell them when to go ahead and walk them outside and shoot a bullet in the back of their head. See, I'm not against technology, but the globalists, because it's just a neutral capacity, the globalists are setting up a infrastructure, in their own words, of total control, total surveillance, a boot stomping on the human face forever. You see, George Orwell, true name Eric Blair, came from a somewhat aristocratic intelligentsia family, and he worked in the Imperial Police right out of high school in India, helping carry out executions and things of that nature and roundups of the Indians who were rebelling. Then he rebelled against that, and the Imperium went and joined the communist and fought and was shot through the throat and survived in the Spanish Civil War. He found out the communists were controlled by the same banking cartel. And so he ran off, but then Hitler popped up. And so he worked in the BBC. His character is Winston Smith, who works in the Ministry of Truth that puts out lies, the big brother media brainwashing center, where one day they're at war with East Asia, the next day they've never been at war with East Asia, the next day they're back at war and have always been at war. And if you say, hey, that's a lie, you're taken away and tortured until you confess, just because they like to torture, and they explain that. We could just kill you, but we like to torture you. It's because we enjoy it, Winston. We like to trample and be trampled upon. Because we control reality. 2 + 2 = 3, 10, 100, Winston. There is no answer. See, Winston says, just tell me what number you want to say. And he said, Winston, I want you to just see all numbers. You see, we control reality now, Winston. And you people in the reality-based community, we're going to stomp you out and get rid of you. So, see, Orwell had experienced working for Imperial Police, working for the communist, then working for BBC propaganda. He had discovered that it was the state and the control freak, psychopathic priest of power, as he called them, pressing on the nerve of power, always Winston, as O'Brien tells him as he lovingly rips his teeth out after torturing him for months. He explains to Winston that it's all about a psychopath dream world. It's all about a giant carnival of enjoyment. And about strata, a pyramidal structure of psychopaths and sadists and control freaks from the top all the way down to the bottom with gibbering, mindless proles obsessed with the lottery and gambling and sports and their tattoos. And I'm not judging you if you have a tattoo. Some of it's interesting art. That's your style. Great. It's just that these are things in cultures that are always markers of decline, self-mutilation, men who can't ever be serious and just gibber and joke hour after hour, day after day. It's a sophomoric, frozen state because men who feel like they're alpha males and that they should be dominant get suppressed by the system because from birth they're set in front of the television set. Same thing with women. They're taught how to be mindless tarts. And are fed a false reality that gives them no path to true personal power that every male seeks at a primitive subconscious level to protect his mate and his children. I mean, the seeking for security and strength and power is a male attribute. But because it's denied to men, unless they become a police officer, then they're twisted and only used against the general public, or the military is one of the few venues where you can supposedly, you know, be a warrior male, but you suborn yourself to a corporate structure and then are dehumanized and used like trash because it's run by psychopaths. There is no honor. And this is what the globalists have done. You know, it's been said about many third world countries, the more enslaved, the more childlike the population is. And the elites in Mexico refer to the population as the dumb children. And the elites here refer to us as idiots. What did Karl Rove tell the New York Times and Washington Post reporters in the interview back in 2004? He said, we're history's actors. We, of course, know it's a false reality. We will change reality day by day. You will study whatever we tell you, and you will put out that propaganda through peer pressure. You don't exist. You're a vassal. You're a slave. How do you like it? And the reporters, by and large, said, man, this is bizarre, but it's true, and we have decided to serve you. And the media and the government said, good. You have chosen, like Winston Smith, who was tortured to not be able to tell 2 plus 2 equals 4 anymore. When he said 2 plus 2, the ability to say 2 plus 2 equals 4 is freedom. It's victory. And it is. If you can say 2 plus 2 equals 4, you have total victory. Now, through that, let me explain. Anwar al-Awlaki is in the news. Admitted U.S. government agent, 100%, publicly AP, Fox, years of it, runs all the attacks, totally staged. He's in the news saying that he's for the attacks in Libya. And it's also in the news, NATO admits, yes, we're working with al-Qaeda, they're good guys. Now, somebody who can say 2 plus 2 equals 4 says, well, this is treason. Our government always ran al-Qaeda. But see, the general yuppie will say, no, I understand, al-Qaeda's good and they're bad.
The preacher man says it's the end of time and the Mississippi River...
You see, they want you domesticated. They want you dumbed down. They don't want you to have a fighting spirit, an instinct to stand up for yourself, to stand up for your family. You know, if you catch some baby raccoons in your fishing cabin and they're in there digging around in your cupboard and you run in and start trying to swat them with a broom, mama, if she's around, will attack you. But see, humans have always been like that. But now when the CPS comes to take your kids, people just give them up to them. Or when the IRS comes to take your house for the Federal Reserve, people don't even resist. In fact, they just fall down and cry. And so we've been domesticated like domesticated animals so that we're more easily sucked off of and slaughtered intellectually and physically. So when I say the ability to be free is 2 plus 2 equals 4, when it's on Fox News and Associated Press that Anwar al-Awlaki, who runs all the major terror attacks in the West, is secretly hanging out at the Pentagon while he's on the most wanted list, and we'll put that up on screen from Fox News. There it is, exclusive, Fox News. Al-Qaeda leader dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11. Or the Times of London. Or Newsweek reporting 9 years ago that the top Taliban and Al-Qaeda were captured, and then the military was ordered to fly them out to safety. Just search Airlift of Evil. And they were like, why did we let them go and then give them gold? Because they'd done a good job. They stage as the fake enemy, the decoys, as the excuse to take over Afghanistan and the opium, $500 billion a year, 90-plus percent of world opium production, with 92%, and then they're flown out to safety. And then they're moved into Pakistan. And then the globalists can start then bombing that country. And then they're moved into Libya and are then called heroes. And U.S. and British special forces, now we learn, confirmed 6 weeks ago, begin leading al-Qaeda in an attack. But separately, Reuters comes out and says Anwar al-Awlaki, in an article published yesterday, if you can even believe this, said the removal of his anti-Islamicist autocrats, like Gaddafi, meant Islamic fighters and scholars were now freer to discuss and organize. And he praised what's happening in Tunisia, Egypt, Libya. Now, this is a known, this guy, the media now reported, is bigger than bin Laden. He had been his number two. They now see bin Laden, who we know died a long time ago. Well, he's gone as the boogeyman. It's Anwar al-Awlaki, who publicly works for the Pentagon. Publicly. And I was on ManCal this morning, who never could believe us. He said, I guess you're right, on air, on close to 100 big stations. He said, I guess you're right. It's true. Al-Qaeda does work for the Pentagon. See, ManCal, ManCal Mueller finally could say 2 plus 2 equals 4. He could finally do it. Now, can you do it? Because all I'm pointing out is here, he's publicly works for the Pentagon, trained in the U.S., head CIA officer, trained for decades here, sent in, turns out, leading the rebels, head of NATO admits Al-Qaeda's the core. Doesn't mean there aren't other Libyans who joined in and who don't like Gaddafi. The fact is, we're being told Al-Qaeda's the good guys. We're going to talk more about this later with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts and others. But, I mean, there it is. Can you say 2 plus 2 equals 4? Or are you like the general public, like Winston Smith being tortured in 1984, who just says, I don't know, I can't understand it. You can't understand something that 2 plus 2 equals 4? Now we're going to come back and go to tattoo artist Levi Smith of Jade Monkey Tattoo in Phoenix. I think he's the owner. But first, I want to play a few minutes of these new digital tattoos that are so cool, everybody's got to get them to buy and sell with a mark on your body. Here it is.
Meets reality. The idea of having barcodes with personal information tattooed on your body. It is here. Take a look at this. A tattoo artist in Phoenix is offering to give QR code tattoos. Now, QR stands for quick response. And when you take a photo of the code on your phone, it can take you right to the person's Facebook website and get their personal information.
It goes to a content there.
It's something different that nobody else will have. It's my tattoo, and no one else could have it.
And as far as we know, Levi Smith at Jade Monkey Tattoo in Phoenix is the only shop offering the tattoos. And this morning we have Levi with us. Thank you very much for coming in.
Okay, we're going to come back. We're going to come back and talk to Levi. But you see that poor Jones girl? Man, that shames the name Jones. But I mean, she's not a bad person. We can hopefully get in contact with her and wake her up. But, I mean, did you notice her ignorance? It's all about me. It's mine. No, it takes who you are and lets the government and the system dehumanize you and track you off your Facebook that it's connected to and dehumanize you, honey. Okay? And look, she's probably a very nice person, but once you're so self-centered and so me, it's my tattoo, you'll find with these vassals out there that can't even think for themselves, that they just love the latest form of dehumanization. And hey, it's your body. But the issue is that, well, it's a very sophisticated issue, but on the face of it, the Nazis put digital numbers so they could put it in a computer to track the concentration camp victims. I mean, we all know this, and we know this is being deployed against everyone. We'll be right back. Get up! Stand up! Escape from the prison planet! All right, if you just joined us, in the last segment, we showed a young lady saying, it's mine, it's my personal tattoo, no one else can have it, it's mine. A very, very interesting KPHO out of Phoenix. Reports on Phoenix tattoo artist offers scanner codes, and this is going on in other places in the U.S. and Europe, but his particular case has gotten a lot of attention, and these are those modern barcodes that look like a collection of little squares and dots, and it's very popular. You see people sticking it up on, you know, the sides of areas on city streets where flyers are hung. You can walk up with your smartphone and scan it. And then it takes you to the website. I guess instead of actually walking up and say, typing in Infowars.com, you just actually just go there. And I wanted to talk about this because there's a big move. And I saw an article back in 1999 in the Washington Post saying the Pentagon was interested in the self mutilation community, the tattoo community, the body modification community, because they thought that was a way to mainline implantable microchips and barcode tattoos for the military and others. And mainstream news has reported they've had test programs with implantable chips with the U.S. military. So I'm very interested in this overall move. And joining us is Levi Smith. And Levi Smith is with the Jade Monkey Tattoo in Phoenix, Arizona. He's the owner. Twitter.com, Levi Tattoo. Facebook is Tattoo Monkey. Thank you for joining us, Levi.
Hey, thank you for having me, man.
So where did you get the idea to start this? Tell us about the technology. Tell us about how many people are getting these there at your tattoo shop.
Well, I've done three of them so far. far now. And, you know, this QR code technology has been around for actually quite a while. I guess around like 20 years. It was really popular in Japan and stuff. And it seems to be a really great and effective marketing tool. It's going to be getting a lot more popular in the U.S. And I was checking them out for using it for marketing. And I ran across on the internet this guy knit a QR code into a sweater. And you could still scan it with a smartphone, and it would still take you to where you wanted, you know, where it was supposed to take you. And so with that, I figured, you know, well, I could tattoo one of those. So, you know, I called up a friend of mine, you know, and without really knowing if it would actually scan or not, you know, we did like a little test run, and it turned out. And, you know, and I was actually kind of shocked that that it was scannable. And so I put the word out, and I did a couple more, and now I'm tattooing a heavy metal band. Each member of the band is getting the QR code tattooed on to go to their band website and all that stuff. And, yeah, and it's a pretty tripped out thing.
Well, look, I'm not here to judge you individually, and obviously this is a fun gimmick, but obviously many people have gotten fake barcode tattoos with 1984 under it to say that they're against being turned into a product. They're against the face scanning that creates a digital barcode from the measurements of your face or your thumbprint being used for some really draconian government controls. I'm sure you've heard about license plate reading cameras, face scanning cameras, and the fact that people would want to run out and, you know, get a barcode and put it on their body to then connect it to their Facebook. I'm sure you've seen the reports about the dehumanizing effects of Facebook and things like that, where people don't have real relationships. They just basically collect friends like baseball cards.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that as well. You know, and there is a clear line between the people that are really interested in this sort of thing versus those that really find it kind of abhorrent and find it as something that's it's kind of a warning as, you know, as potential times to come with, you know, the loss of privatization and, you know, the increasing influence of technology in our immediate personal lives. You know, the people that are really getting them much more tend to be younger people, counterculture people, people that are kind of using it to kind of own it. The same way that, like minority groups would use racial slurs and stuff towards themselves as a way to kind of take it back, sort of thing.
There's a lady getting one of these where she says it's mine, only I can have it. But I mean, I don't see that as it being hers. It now ties her into the Matrix, and she's basically taking, you know, some corporate Pentagon. I mean, it is the Pentagon that developed the barcode in 1984 of all years. They made a deal with Walmart to demand all of their suppliers have the barcode. Now they want RFID tracker chips in all products, so that in MIT and the Pentagon's own words, they'll be able to track the real world, like cyberspace, with all these tracker chips. And I've noticed with clothes I get laundered, they now stick an RFID glued sticker without asking me that rips your clothes if you take it off. So now I have to go to a new launder place to get some of my clothes laundered because they're not even asking. They're just sticking this on my clothes, gluing it to it. And sure, it's convenient for them. But more and more, I'm sure you've heard about the FBI putting tracker chips on cars without warrants.
Right. Well, it's a further attempt to digitize reality because it's so much easier to control a digital world than the real chaotic world. So in an attempt to control that more, you know, this could very well be used as a, you know, as a method, these QR code tattoos. But also they're very, very easy to modify and stuff. So I don't think that they're really viable as a control device or a tracking device. Or something like, you know, RFID chips or some kind of like a magnetized ink or some, you know, crazy nanotechnology.
You're right. But I'm telling you, the Pentagon was in Washington Tech, the tech publication of the Washington Post at the time, in 99. And they said, we love the body modification, the mutilation, the tattoo movement, mainlining, the body piercings, because their psychological warfare breakdowns show that would then cause the public to accept forced microchipping, as the Mexican Attorney General did 7 years ago of his office employees in Mexico City. And so, you know, my point here is that you're right. We don't need the tattoo. They already get your digital photo when you get a driver's license, put it in a federal database, and now can track you. Your face basically forms, you know, their own barcode.
Yeah.
But I mean, my whole issue is just, I mean, did you hear about the VeriChip company that signed up with a bunch of Baja Beach clubs in the U.S. and Europe to get into the VIP area with the girls in bikinis? You've got to take an implantable microchip.
I've heard of VeriChip, but I didn't realize that they were already implementing that, you know, in those kinds of ways, like on a commercial level. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, if you just type into a search engine Baja Beach Club or nightclubs, Baja Beach Club, nightclub, yeah. A VeriChip, implantable chip. I mean, because that's what the global engineers, Ray Kurzweil and others, write books about it. They say, look, at first you won't be able to have a job if you're not implanted and if you don't do all this augmentation and brain chips.
Well, yeah, you'll be a non-person if you sit out and refuse to get these trackable devices that control your ability to purchase and sell and everything that we've always been warned about, then you're not going to be allowed to take part in that digital society. You know,
exactly, by standardizing, Levi, and obviously you're a smart guy here talking to you. I wasn't going to yell at you, but you obviously know what's going on.
This is totally my sort of thing. I've had some of my friends call me the Antichrist for doing this, and you know, and I think it's kind of funny, and I may be in some way contributing to the psychological acceptance of doing this sort of thing, but it's not something that that I'm necessarily blind towards, and I'm not exactly for it either. But at the same time, I'm part of that counterculture movement that wants to kind of own it. If we can use this technology in ways and understand it, you know, maybe we can use it to fight.
But
back.
Levi Smith, when you dance with the devil doesn't change, he changes you. You know, beware staring into the abyss, lest you become the abyss.
Right.
But expanding on that, here's what I'm trying to say. The Pentagon, MIT, they all created the global infrastructure, the internet, all these systems. They admit that they're going to force all business through it so that then only mega corporations can basically operate in the system. And all of this barcoding, all of this stuff is extincting local businesses, community. Now they're harassing roadside places selling eggs or oranges or watermelons. They're now arresting people selling fresh milk. They're now hunting down with the animal ID, premises ID, trying to shut down local farms and ranches. This is a full spectrum dominance matrix control system, and I'm telling you, you can't own this. I'm telling you, this is playing directly into their hands. Perhaps by you doing this, and now if you speak out about it and point this out, perhaps some good can be made of it. But I'm telling you, this is going to destroy us.
There's a great possibility of that. I've got a lot of faith in humanity and the inherent difficulty in actually maintaining any kind of control over us for a certain amount of time. I mean, you know, it's also said that, you know, that we'll win, you know, the people will win, but it's that trial and tribulation that we have to go through that maybe will help us in a way and help move our culture forward and move out of this violent kind of state that we tend to have been in for the past 3,000 years.
Well, Levi, here's the issue: the system implants modern versions of Christianity on record to make people believe the world is basically going to go through something, so we can't stop this inevitable foregone conclusion, self-fulfilling prophecy, when the truth is every generation goes through crises.
Right.
We need to, you know, Rwandans, when they were being murdered, you know, the Tutsis were being killed by the Hutus, or was it vice versa? They believed it was the Tutsis being killed by the Hutus. Check that for me, folks. My memory fails in 93 or 94. The point is that they believed it was the end of the world and it was the Antichrist. People in Germany thought it was the end of the world and the Antichrist was Hitler. But the point is, there are many Antichrists, and we need to say no to this system now, because even if it is the end of the world coming, we are being tested now on the decisions we make. And listen, that doesn't mean I'm on some high horse about what you're doing.
No, I get you. You know, this is something that's indicative of, you know, the warnings and whatnot. I agree that we have to we have to be cautious towards these things. But I don't know. It's to me, it's a novel scene. I'm a bit of a tech head, and you know, like with like Ray Kurzweil and stuff. You know, I'm really optimistic about what technology can do for us and whatnot, and also its inherent dangers of you know, what it can take from us.
Sure, but I mean, you're probably getting into his more public rantings where it's meant to look good to the proletariat. Here's an example. Most big gyms in Austin now, I can't have a membership at because they make you thumb scan to go in and lift weights.
Right.
Libraries, many public schools make the kids thumbprint, no cash allowed, no credit cards allowed. It tracks everything you do. We're entering a system under a global sales tax collected nationally, delivered to the IMF and World Bank internationally, where you're not going to be able to accept cash. You're not going to be able to accept a check. It's all being phased out. You're going to have to pay with your face scan, with your barcode, with your chip, with your RFID, and that's so you can't escape the taxes that are going to go up and up and up that are designed to break down the once vibrant real economy and the black market economy. So this system is death to
right.
true local community.
Right, right. Yeah, and I, you know, I do get you. I just, you know, I'm not sure what to say as far as like my position with doing the QR code. I do realize my you know my part in the I guess the acceptance of this sort of thing, but I don't know. I seem to have a little bit more optimism in in humanity's ability to generally resist this sort of
thing. I have optimism. That's why I'm fighting right now.
Right.
Oh, we are going to win. The answer to 1984 is 1776. Do you have any children, Levi?
Yes, I do. I have a daughter, yeah.
How old is she, 5'6"?
She's actually 2 months old.
Well, we're entering a time when she's 10, 12 years old where would you stand up and fight or speak out if they were saying your daughter had the face scan? When she buys and sells, it'll just be a camera on the wall, but it's already here. But, you know, to make sure she pays her national sales taxes, because it's going to be graduated. I mean, would you be against that? Would you speak out against that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
Okay, because the fight is now. They're integrating this. They're setting it up. They had face scanning cameras up in the town I live in 10 years ago. They only admitted to the slaves last year. I mean, sir, the war is now. I mean, I'm just telling you. Did you know that most major cities don't just add fluoride to the water, they actually add radioactive isotopes?
Right. You know, treating the water and stuff to control, you know, various balances in the body and the brain and whatnot, keep it docile and, you know.
I mean, because that's admitted. I have the Rockefeller Foundation reports. It's also to kill you, slowly kill you. I mean, this is pretty hardcore is what I'm saying.
Right.
And I mean, you know, the point is we've been eased in to this cold water. They've turned the heat up and now we're boiling. And I'm just saying, I don't think we're going to own this getting barcodes that can actually be scanned by enemy platforms, like Facebook. It's one thing to go into Facebook as we do into the matrix to try to reach people with red pills. But I think it's another thing. You know, to kind of say, make me a movie star in the Matrix, and I don't want to remember anything.
Well, you know, and at the same time, though, you know, people have been able to, you know, individuals have been able to kind of own some of this technology and stuff, and even use like Facebook and Twitter to, you know, to overthrow dictators, even. You know, so it's kind of difficult to fully predict how these people, especially these younger generations, which seem to be so natural at all of this technology.
Sure, there are some people who are young and angry in Egypt and Libya, but, you know, Al-Qaeda and the Pentagon are the real ones running. I mean, have you seen the news, how they admit Al-Qaeda's the good guys now in Libya?
Right, that the Eastern Libyan faction could have Al-Qaeda elements.
Oh, they're run by Al-Qaeda, yeah. Have you heard about Anwar al-Awlaki, now the head of Al-Qaeda, hanging out secretly at the Pentagon?
No, I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, the State Department registers and controls and works with Twitter, and I'm just here to tell you that those were staged revolutions over there. You noticed in Bahrain and other places where they're machine gunning crowds.
They haven't had the same kind of response equally throughout everything. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, we're not seeing coalition air raids on our allies who are shooting people. Well, listen, I don't want to just sit here and talk at you. You've been a really nice guy, Levi Smith.
I appreciate it.
And so what do you got folks lining up now to get their barcode tattoos?
Yeah, some of them are. And then, some people are pretty upset. You know, it's about 50-50 right now. So,
well,
if that's any indication, it's a state of the, acceptance towards this sort of thing.
Well, I understand your sophisticated view of, hey, it's individual. People made the choice. It's a way to own it. But you have to understand the symbol of something, even if somebody, say, got a swastika on their arm and they weren't a Nazi, and they said, I got it to educate people about, you know, tyranny, still some people would be upset by the symbol because of their, you know, their head screwed on straight. And so it's that symbol, it's that response. Like, you can throw a rubber snake at somebody and a lot of them will kind of jump back. It's not that it's a real snake, but it elicits that response. But in your case, it is a real snake. And look, very interesting discussion. Levi Smith, tattoo artist at the Jade Monkey Tattoo in Phoenix, Arizona. Take care, my friend, but what does it profit a man to gain the whole world if he loses his soul? I'm not judging you. I'm as wicked as the day is long as well. I appreciate you joining us. I talked to that tattoo artist, Levi Smith, during the break. It turned out he is a, quote, fan of our films. Didn't really realize what show he was on until he was partway into it. But here's the deal. These are working, real barcodes. It just mainlines it. The culture's putting them up everywhere to sell us on this system. We're being conditioned like animals, and I don't like it. So there is a malevolent, corrupt, dehumanizing system pushing all of this, and I'm sure Mr. Smith's nice. I'm sure the lady he was tattooing, Miss Jones, is nice. I think it's shameful to do this to your body, to do this to your flesh, to put barcodes on it that so people can visit your Facebook easier because they're too lazy. I mean, since the Texas Instruments 30-something years ago came out with their cheaper calculators, you know, first they were thousands of dollars a piece. Mathematics has fallen completely off. Most people with spell checkers now can't spell. I mean, it's almost like we're going to turn into legless, eyeless, earless little creatures with just a plug into our head who can't even communicate because we are being dehumanized by this. Technology is neutral, but the way it's being deployed, its architecture, the way it's being arranged is to break us off from the land, from reality. You know, the average young people are just running around having fun all into themselves, not worried about radiation settling in over the U.S., cloud after cloud, day after day, belched out of the Fukushima shattered facility, plutonium, uranium spraying out 100,000 times safe levels. One core, they admit, is completely melted through the floor and is going into the water table. I mean, this is just off the charts horrible. And you know, they're not going to test the seafood in America out of the Pacific. You're going to eat it. We're going to eat it. We're going to keep using cell phones that are giving us brain tumors on record. We're going to keep drinking the fluoride until we wake up and say no. And it's really that simple. We're almost out of the book. If you want to get an excellent book to get into reality, we're almost out of it. Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places by Joel Skousen. We're now shipping out Jesse Ventura, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. Very powerful book. Great to very sophisticated and complex and detailed, but very good for somebody who's not awake to what's happening because it's got 63 documents like Northwoods, and just countless others that will blow your mind. Government drug dealing, you name it, it's all here. I think it's Ventura's best book. We've got a big discount on it out of the gates, Infowars.com. That's how you support us. Also, the new book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, only available at Infowars.com because Mark needed help printing the book up. And I said, sure, I'll print up a couple thousand for him. We'll be the main distributor until those are sold out. But Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, excellent book breaking down how we're integrated already into a Big Brother society. All that's left is the internet kill switch and arresting political dissidents because we're terrorists, according to the media, and because we don't like Al-Qaeda. So all of that available at Infowars.com. The great new film, of course, by Jason Burmes, Invisible Empire, New World Order Defined, that I produced. That's available at Infowars.com. And your purchase of the books, the videos, the T-shirts, all of it gets the word out. You're authorized to make copies of any films I've directed and produced. And to get them out to people, they're all in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv, 15 cents a day. The archive, the live video stream, the higher quality commercial-free podcast, expanded extras of all my films, exclusive interviews. We're flying all over the country and Canada to interview the top brains of the New World Order. Those are going up, new ones, multi-hour-long interviews every week. Big ones with Charlotte Isherby coming out and a bunch of others. 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month. Sign up for a year, get 3 months free, or just do the trial 1 month. PrisonPlanet.tv. And we're able to fund our operation. But you can also download the films, burn them to disc, give them to your friends and family, get them out to everyone you know. PrisonPlanet.tv or call toll free 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas 78760. And the online shopping cart for the books, the t-shirts, the bumper stickers, all of it in the InfoWar, InfoWars.com. If you believe in what we're doing, please support us. It's a win-win-win-win-win in the InfoWar, and the general public is now really ready to be awakened. We'll be right back with hour number two. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up in the next segment, I'm going to do a detailed breakdown of the globalist current geopolitical strategy to overthrow the Middle East and install new puppet dictators who then completely ban free speech and protesting like has been done in Egypt, that hailed by our media is wonderful. Again, the globalists want that here as well. They install tyrannies everywhere. But when we come back from break, remember, we've had all these White House advisors, all these Democratic Party advisors saying we need terror attacks to get our agenda through so the public loves us again and sees us as their saviors. And they want to blame it on domestic groups, you name it. Just like the government is got caught basically sending out the anthrax letters, and it was super U.S. government weaponized, and the FBI lied about it for years. Now, Chicago CBS reports threats claim nuclear bombs hidden all over U.S. The threats came in the mail, and to date, there have been 25 letters that warn of nuclear bombs destroying America. How about letters claiming Godzilla is going to attack New York City next Tuesday? Or that flying saucers are going to attack Albuquerque tomorrow? I mean, it's like Anwar al-Awlaki, who admittedly works for the Pentagon. A letter shows up on the internet that, you know, he's loving what's happening in Libya, and it's just taken as if it's completely real. They've had, a college student out in San Francisco 5-6 years ago did a fake beheading in his garage, and for a week they ran it as if it was real. Because the media is primed to pick up any disinfo usually produced by the government. You know, Al-Qaeda videos that have been uploaded by the Intel Center, Wired Magazine has reported, have the Al-Qaeda logo and the Intel Center logo in the same video layer. It was uploaded together. You understand that? And so I'm going to be breaking this down because they really want to get the fear going. If they don't stage a terror attack, they at least want to hype one. That Al-Qaeda's got 160 nukes. Why a letter said so, and I'm looking at the handwriting, and we'll put the article on screen. I mean, if you blow that up, it looks just like the same handwriting that was sent out with the anthrax letters. And so this is just all part of the terrorists are going to get you, love the government, love the bankers robbing you, drink your fluoride, take your Prozac, breathe your uranium, it's good for you. 2 plus 2 equals whatever we say it equals. It certainly doesn't equal 4, though. And it equals everything else but 4. And so you better give up all your rights because Al-Qaeda is going to hit you any minute. And we've got to have these wars because Al-Qaeda is evil and bad and dangerous and horrible. But they are also heroes fighting against the evil Gaddafi. And you're like, but that doesn't make sense. Why? In fact, I know you guys have printed it 100 times, but I just want to hold it in my hand and read it to people. Will you print me the Fox News, Anwar al-Awlaki hanging out secretly at the Pentagon? This is confirmed. Where's the congressional investigation? Where's the fact people are going, well, you used Al-Qaeda against the Serbs. You used it against the Russians. You used it, the threat of it, to take our liberties here at home. Anwar al-Awlaki running all these attacks, hanging out in the U.S. I'm going to cover this when we come back, and I specifically only want to hear from listeners on this issue of how it's the biggest hoax I know of, militarily, strategically, via security, that Al-Qaeda is always funded, created by the people that run the U.S., not the U.S., but the bankers that have hijacked us, always being protected by them, always being run by them. I'm going to go through some examples of that when we come back. And but separately, they're wonderful freedom fighters, and this big CIA commander who's Middle Eastern, trained for decades in Virginia, admits in the news, yes, we're commanding al-Qaeda. And Amiral Lockheed's popped up. Yes, it's a great jihad against secular Arab leaders like Muammar Gaddafi. I mean, this is crazy. They've always used radical Muslims, they call al-Qaeda, to overthrow what the globalists see as stable governments. Doesn't mean Gaddafi's good. Doesn't mean any of these guys are good. The point is, they're not globalist. They're not playing patty cake properly. Now, Gaddafi 6 years ago did deals with Europe and the U.S. to play patty cake. That was only so the globalists could insert their spies in there. And now they're doing it. All right, we're going to come back, break down the fact that they're hyping stage terror. This time, hundreds of nukes going off in the U.S. That's your government with just fake letters waving them around to fearmonger the sheeple into loving the New World Order. We'll be right back. Gerald Celente coming up.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up in just a few minutes, I'm going to break down this incredible government media fear-mongering. Just random letters mailed in. They claim al-Qaeda is going to detonate and has buried over 160 nuclear bombs in the U.S. We're going to be breaking down this incredible fear-mongering ahead of what could be staged terror attacks in the U.S. to really bring in the New World Order and the whole secret police citizen spy grid that they've set up. Well, meanwhile, al-Qaeda, Amiral Awlaki, and all of them publicly, in every case, are protected and work for the Pentagon. And again, I was even on Eric Mankow Mueller's show today, and he's always attacked me on that. I go on there every Wednesday for years. And he said, no, you're right. It's true. It's admitted. There it is. Amiral Awlaki works for the government. The rebels work for the government. It's all staged. They staged the whole deal, and they're now fear-mongering that their secret army of al-Qaeda is going to attack us if we don't give all of our rights up. That's coming up. Then I'm going to open the phones up ahead of Gerald Celente joining us, and then Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. But before I go any further, I wanted to briefly hit some economic news. The Associated Press, obviously, is reporting home prices falling in most major U.S. cities. Home prices falling in 19 major cities, with four now at lowest levels in 11 years. They've also found that areas seen as immune from the housing slump are now dropping. Also, consumer confidence is at an all-time low since measurements began in the last 60 years of consumer confidence. But the media is telling us that the economy is rebounded in June of 2009, close to 2 years ago, and that it's a conspiracy theory. If you don't think everything's great and the NAFTA and GATT and Walmart are wonderful, and OPEC set for $1,000 billion in export revenues. They made $1 trillion last year. Two-thirds of oil and gas leases in Gulf are inactive because the Interior Department will not issue permits. But don't worry, they're issuing permits in the Mediterranean off of Libya. And they've already taken the main oil port and are putting the rebels in the new government, who signed everything over to the new private central bank that's been set up. So that's some of the news on that front. But I wanted to briefly get into gold and silver. Because if you look at the 11-year silver graph, and we'll put that on screen, or the 11-year gold graph, gold's gone from $258 at its low to now over $1,400. Silver's gone from $5 to $35, almost $40. And what happens is, as you go up the stairs, and that's what it looks like, a stairs, sometimes there's little drops, but overall it rebounds more the next week, the next month. But the media rushes in and says, gold plunged, silver plunged, it's over. I mean, it can go down a couple bucks, and they say that now. Silver or 10, 20 bucks on gold. And then the yuppies, and I've had them say to my face, oh, look, gold's plunging. I get the emails or on the street, or I talk to extended family, and they're like, I heard gold went down. You're wrong now. See, I was smart not to invest in it. Yeah, it was 200 and something bucks. Now it's 1,400. Yeah, it dropped $10, but then went right back up. Yeah, you're smart. Again, it's all this perception is reality. To them, 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4. It's just, oh, no, you know, gold's gone down. Because they're not in the reality-based community. There's the 10-year graph. And is that silver or gold? That's gold because it's above 1,400. There it is at $258, now above 1,400. And let me show you the silver graph, $5 now. It's been up close to 40. And Ted Anderson is going to pop in just briefly to talk about this psychological effect. See, we're wrong, Ted. Gold and silver didn't go up. We gave bad advice. Of course, it did go up, but the invincible ignorance of some of the population who doesn't want to admit they made the wrong decision to not get into gold and silver, they don't want to admit that they made a bad decision, so they just play kind of fantasy land like a three-year-old does when they're pretending to be a polar bear, but they're not a polar bear or a pirate or Peter Pan, and they're just laughing at us right now, Ted. We're idiots, Ted.
Yeah, you're right about that, Alex. There's a club of Wall Street-type people out there that just simply believe that gold and silver cannot be the best thing to be investing in, even though it really is. Gold and silver's outperformed just about anything you can think of out there. I mean, if you had your money in the stock market, you'd have done nothing but stay even and perhaps even lost 50 to 60% of your investment. The gold and silver, I mean, it's just... It's a no-brainer. I mean, when you see the printing press running in Washington, D.C. like we have it, people need to be buying gold and silver. It's not even an option anymore. Now we have Greece and Portugal falling apart. Spain is about ready to melt down. The whole EU is falling apart. And the United States is broken. Guess what we're thinking about doing? Going to war with Libya. I mean, how are we going to afford
to do
that?
Well, by the way, the war is already going. The Marines are off the coast. And now the news is saying, well, there'll be an invasion, but it's humanitarian.
What difference does it make, Alex? We can't afford it.
Wait a minute, Ted. It's not a war. It's a kinetic military action. There is no war, sir.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, maybe we should hire Osama bin Laden to go fight Omar Gaddafi now. I mean, it's just...
Well, they actually have. That's actually what's going on. But, I mean, what? You don't, Ted, I guess you and I are un-American, though, because we don't like Al-Qaeda. And now we're anti-America. Do you want to apologize for not liking Al-Qaeda?
Yeah, I guess I must. I guess I'll have to here. But, I mean, it just... None of that makes sense anymore, Alex. And what they're doing, and you know, with this war, and it's just one more thing that we're getting tied to here. It's like you said, it's like the central banks want this to happen. Who cares what the government or the people want? I mean, Alex, I am so fed up with this. I just want everybody to get on the bandwagon and take these people off their perch. And the only way we're going to do it is by ending that central bank system, change the monetary system back to real money here in the United States. That's what we need. The financial ground from which they support themselves with is having a printing press able to lend it to us and then collect interest on it and then now dictate policy.
Well, Ted, it's on the same subject, but we'll shift back into gold and silver here in a moment. But they're announcing coming up in just a few days, early next month, they're having Bretton Woods 2 run by Soros, all the big world bankers meeting openly in the news saying to decide how to get rid of the dollar, which will be devastating. It's all we've got left. Is the fiat currency. As much as I don't like it, that will literally be like pulling our heart out of us. Of course, the bankers have already got the new system, so they're positioned to move on now that they've sucked us dry through fraud. But George Soros' Media Matters has said they're going to declare war on Fox News, but also other what is seen as conservative or anti-New World Order groups, including yours truly. I'm prominently listed there, with guerrilla warfare sabotage meant to bankrupt and destroy. And they're a 501c3. Now, a church under 501c3, and it's fraudulent because you don't have to sign up with these things. You have your First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But a 501c3 isn't allowed to be involved politically, much less saying we're an arm of George Soros and the Democrats and we're going to destroy you. And papers are saying this is illegal. But, I mean, here we are with Ron Paul and others fighting the banker takeover. And then we have George Soros openly with his attack dogs saying we will be destroyed. And they've got to be scared. Here we are on the hugely prestigious, massive trade publication of talk radio, March 2011, Talkers Magazine. I'm on the cover, and I'm the keynote speaker coming up in June. And this is where all the big corporate chiefs are going to be. What does it say that they want me there to speak to them? Well, they want me there to speak to them about why we're so successful. I'm going to tell them why, because we tell the truth. But you know, the system, no wonder George Soros is so scared, Ted.
Yeah, you're right about that. And there's been a paradigm shift ever since the TARP bailouts. And we had Congress saying that we're going to have martial law here in the United States. People from the grassroots up are looking at what the United States government's doing and what the central banks are doing and what these world central banks are doing, and they're not liking it, and we're fighting back. And it's nice to see you succeed while some of these other neocon-type political people are dying on the vine.
Our ratings are exploding. Internet, AM, FM, news stations literally every couple days now. Beck, and I'm kind of sad about it because overall he does do some good, you know, exposing some things, dealing with the New World Order, even if it's limited. It's sad to see a year now straight, the new ratings came out a few days ago. He is in free fall, losing stations everywhere, but we're gaining stations. What does that tell you, Ted?
Well, it just tells me that the truth sells. You can't be an actor. You actually have to have your passion into it. You have to know what the real truth is, and then you have to keep telling it until people listen. I mean, look at how it was about 20 years ago or even 10 years ago when you got started, 15. You know, it was like people thought you should be wearing a tin hat. Now you have everybody listening to you, and radio stations are turning you on, and television stations are looking at picking up your show.
And it's not because I'm smart when it's admitted that Al-Qaeda was created by the globalist, and they're being protected, and Amiral Alawi's hanging out at the Pentagon getting orders while he runs terror attacks against our troops and here domestically. I go, look, this is bad. I mean, again, all we're doing is having the courage to tell the truth. Only got 1 minute left, Ted. Tell folks where silver and gold are right now and the best deals you've got for folks that, again, is going to sell out quick. Then it will go up because you bought this when it dipped. Now it's gone up. You can still sell at the lower price. Tell folks what you got in silver.
Yeah, sure. Right now, $37.47 is spot silver at the moment. It went up to $37.78. We're almost at $38 an ounce. Right now, without a question, Alex, I'm still holding your video deal down for $110 delivered. Silver dollars alone are at $40 a piece.
That's three silver dollars. That's not, you can't get that deal anywhere. Free shipping and three of my most powerful films for how much, Ted?
$110 delivered. And then the other thing, too, Alex, I still have The Creature from Jekyll Island. I'm still selling it for $31. That silver dollar in there is worth $10 more, and you get the book, and you get the silver dollar.
So you get $9, $10 off the coin and a free book that sells for over $20. For how much, Ted?
Well, you get it for $31 delivered.
All right, let me give the number out. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Even if you already read the book or seen the videos, you're just getting it for free, folks. So get the silver, get the free books, the video. 800-686-2237. Ask him about radio specials on other gold and silver coins when you call to get the lowest price. 800-686-2237. Tell him Alex sent you. Politico is reporting that Obama's approval rating has hit a new all-time record low. No president, even Nixon, had one this low into this term, this far along into the term. That shows you right there, people are not for this new war that was started by globalist special forces, headed up with Al-Qaeda brigades that form the core of the group starting the war against Gaddafi. Remember 5 weeks ago, Gaddafi said, this is Al-Qaeda working for the U.S., attacking me. Now it's all over the news. NATO admits, yeah, they're Al-Qaeda, but they're good Al-Qaeda. Yeah, they're out of Saudi Arabia. Yeah, they're the same folks that were running around killing U.S. troops. But so what? If you're not for it, you're anti-America. They actually say, this is good. This is humanitarian. So I wanted to just remind you of some history. 1979, they create the Mujahideen to then attack Russian outposts to elicit a full-bore invasion. Brzezinski has now admitted all this. We already knew it, but now he's written two books on it. The head of National Security Advisor at the time. We're not saying the Russians were good. The point is, this is what happened. Neither is Al-Qaeda. Neither is the folks like Brzezinski. They're all corrupt. They come in, they attack, then they use Al-Qaeda with the KLA against the Serbs. in the equivalent of the U.S. Southwest, and the U.N. comes in and bombs the north of Serbia, bombs the central area of the south, takes over the south, ethnic cleansing of the Serbs, absolute murder, all confirmed, loving, liberal, good. Just like the Al-Qaeda forces are killing anybody who they think may have ever supported Gaddafi, lining them up and shooting them, it's confirmed, it's freedom. Financial Times and AP reported 2 days ago, they have banned all protests in an official decree, period. You can't form new political parties, women are raped if they protest, you're shot, and it's like, our media is like, yes, freedom, democracy, that Mubarak's gone, kill everybody. So that's going on. It's just so over the top. U.S.-backed forces, European-backed forces were in there a week before. The riots began months ago in Egypt to overthrow their old puppet, to get rid of the old dog, put in some new dogs. Both the major candidates now running in the elections coming up that they went ahead and suspended. But when the elections come back, are Western run publicly. Again, total tyranny. It just Mubarak was not evil enough. Just like Saddam was not evil enough, formally trained in 1958 when he was an Iraqi army officer for 3 years in Egypt by the CIA. That's all declassified in public, got rid of him after they told him to launch wars against Iran, used Al-Qaeda against the Serbs, used them against the Russians. Just Google Airlift of Evil. And the headline will be Times of London. It was also called that in Newsweek. And they said, because a special forces colonel went public at the time in the San Francisco Chronicle. And he got in a lot of trouble. I remember the article. It first came out there about a month before. And then it finally came out in other publications. They said, look, we captured thousands. What was it? 8,000 Taliban Al-Qaeda cream. The leaders, the Taliban general, bin Laden's number two. We were ordered, you don't just load them on C-130s and take them to Pakistan. Here are chests of gold. Chest of gold. Gold. There it is. MSNBC, the airlift of evil. Why did we let Pakistan pull volunteers out of Kunduz? Then you actually read the articles. It wasn't Pakistan. It was US C-130s. But see, I'm evil. I'm not for Al-Qaeda. And, it just continues here. Exclusive. Al-Qaeda leader dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11. I keep going back to this. Fox News, other publications, Pentagon didn't deny it. It was just, yes, Alaki hangs out secretly at the Pentagon while he's most wanted. Let's not discuss it. And then he runs the attacks at Fort Hood and everywhere else. Just every one of the major attacks with moron patsies they hire, who are real mentally ill terrorists. And they turn these lunatics loose. And then Congress says, let us see the 2 years of emails and meetings and Pentagon surveillance of Alaki controlling Major Hassan and the underwear bomber and others, and they say, sorry, national security, not going to give it to you. Because according to Tarpley and his research, and the evidence is there, it's not even Alaki. It's the name Alaki. When they're out there, you know, on message boards and meeting with them in person, I'm here from Alaki. You've done well for Allah. Prepare the attack. And it may take them years to get them to do it, just like 1993 World Trade Center bombing. On record, New York Times, CBS News, because Ahmad Salam, the Egyptian intelligence officer hired by the CIA and FBI, he was told to build a dummy bomb. Then they said, we're going to build a real bomb. Then they said, okay, now we are going to give you real detonators and a real bomb. And he said, okay, let's bust them. They're about to bomb it tomorrow. And they said, no, it goes forward. He knew they were setting him up. So he recorded them and then did a press conference and released it after the bombing. And they had to admit, okay, yes, we ran the attack. And they found two men who were nearly mentally retarded because they were on welfare. They had city IQ studies because you have to go do that to get your welfare. They got extra welfare as being morons, mildly retarded. I think the smartest one had an 82 IQ. I mean, an 82 IQ, folks. I mean, 70 is super retarded. And they bombed the building, but they didn't park it up against the right column, so the feds had to get it right a few years later. Love Muse, great patriots. Oh, yeah, they're on board in the fight against the New World Order. Visit their site, the only news sites they link to, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. They're on board in the fight. Bellamy wears Terror Storm t-shirts in concert. I need to get him back on, Got him on once, didn't get the right number, never been able to get him back on. But it shows how many people are awake to what's going on. Now, briefly finishing up, then we're going right to Gerald Celente, joining us via video Skype for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, transmitting out on audio for all the great radio affiliates out there. When we're done with Celente and all this key info he has, the top trends forecaster, we're going to shift gears back to your calls in the next hour and come up in about 25, 27 minutes. And we're going to get back into publicly Al-Qaeda used against the Serbs, globalist backed, used against the Russians. Now, it turns out British Special Forces and others 5 weeks ago using them as the core to get the revolution going. Now others have joined in and now it's admitted all over the news. They are a like Leatherman tool for the New World Order, that one size fits all. And they use Al-Qaeda to menace the U.S. when they want to have more draconian crackdowns on our liberties and get hundreds of billions in no-bid police state body scanner and face scanner and license plate scanner federalization funds to the private corporations. But here's CBS News, random letters, and they're taking it like it's serious, 160 nuclear bombs buried by Al-Qaeda. Might as well be the Keebler elves, and we better give all our rights up because 160 nukes are going to get us. And you got all the White House and Democratic memos saying we need a new Oklahoma City. We need a new 9/11 to really take people's rights and make folks love it. What are we going to do? How are we going to prop up Obama? Record approval rating plunging. They think you're so dumb. They're publicly talking about how great a staged event would be. Even Bex covered this. This is getting crazy. I want to get into housing prices in areas that were seen as immune plunging, general housing prices plunging, commodities rocketing continually up, Bretton Woods 2 coming up next week, run by Soros at the Bretton Woods Hotel, openly calling for the end of the dollar. We're in a depression. All the economic indicators are there, but they're telling us that 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4. They're saying it equals whatever they want because, as Karl Rove said, they control reality. Well, as long as we bow down to these con artists and let them put their spell on us, they do. But the minute we realize they're pot-bellied scam artists, it's over. Now, bringing up Gerald Celente to break this down and to give us his take on the war, all of it, it's great to have you here with us, my friend.
As we look at the war, it's what we had said it was going to be. The first great war of the 21st century has begun. And there could be no doubt about it.
You said that 2 years ago. How did you know?
Well, because the global Ponzi scheme is collapsing. What happened was when the bailout bubble, the bailouts began in 2008, we said when the bailout bubble bursts, the next thing they'll do is take you to war. It's history repeating itself. The song is the same. The tune is different. Figure it out. 1929, the Panic of 08. The Great Depression, the greatest recession. The only reason the recession hasn't turned worse in the United States is because of all of that digital money that they keep pumping into the system to keep the banks afloat. And then you look at the currency wars going on today. Hey, guess what? They went on back then. The next thing is trade wars and then real wars. So we're looking at what's going on over in the Middle East and North Africa. This is also going on, actually, in the UK. You just saw, what, 500,000 people take to the streets last week. The only difference is, back in the European countries, as they're getting shafted, they're still living under the illusion that they'll be able to change it at the ballot box. They still believe in that. But over in these other countries, when you have dictatorial, autocratic, or monarchs ruling, they know that the only chance is to overthrow that government.
And the globalists, by increasing food prices via dollar devaluation, knew the rebellions were starting, so they started the dominoes going themselves to try to put their new people in. And now in Egypt, the new government has banned all protest. What do you make of this, Gerald Celente? Fox News, Al-Qaeda leader dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11 while he was on the most wanted list. Now Anwar al-Awlaki's in the news saying Arab revolts, a boost for Al-Qaeda, that it's great what's happening in Libya, and the CIA-trained leader of the rebels admits the core of their troops are Al-Qaeda. So how do they have it both ways? Al-Qaeda bad, give up all your rights or they'll get you in the night. They're hiding under every bridge. They're hiding in your closet, under your bed, under your table, your coffee table. But at the same time, Al-Qaeda good. Look, am I an extremist that I don't like Al-Qaeda? Are we wrong to not like Al-Qaeda? Who is Al-Qaeda?
Well, according to General Petraeus, there are only, what, 100 of them left in in Afghanistan. And what do we got? Over 100,000 troops over there. You talk about overkill. But hey, they still can't find Osama bin Laden. No, they're going to use, you know the story, they keep using fear to keep the military-industrial complex alive. Look, I have to read this, Alex. Unfortunately, I had to watch all of President Obama's speech the other night because I need to know, you know, every detail that they're talking about. It's very painful to watch this show on the road. But here's what he said. I've made it clear that I will never hesitate to use our military swiftly, decisively, and unilaterally when necessary to defend our people, our homeland. So far, that's not too bad. Our allies and our core interests. Since when did this enter into the picture? So in effect, he's abrogated the Constitution. He's unilaterally decided that whenever he believes what a core interest is, like flourishing fields of broccoli in Libya, not their sweet crude oil, then it's an excuse to intervene. Or our allies? What allies? Hey, how about that ally over there in Bahrain? You know, that guy that's killing his people? Don't talk about that one. Why not? Hey, couldn't be because the Fifth Fleet is there. Alex, they're getting us into war. The whys, the hows, and the ifs really don't make much of a difference because the story is going to change like that. How about this for a change of script really quick? Go back 2 weeks ago. Why did we get involved in Libya? I remember why. They said because the Arab League asked us. Oh, you mean the Arab Little League? Where are they? Oh, Qatar's sending a couple of airplanes. Qatar. Hey, those are the people that own Al Jazeera, right? Yeah, that's right. And haven't they been fomenting this war in Libya? Yeah. And why? Hey, couldn't be because in all of the public eye, Gaddafi and the emir over there had it out at an Arab League meeting. So we're getting dragged into this stuff. And one more thing, and I want to make this really clear. You know how you hear all the time? You know, if only women were in charge, we wouldn't be going to war. I just read in the New York Times that toilet paper record, as they would say in the Bronx, that the three people pushing this war after the U.S. military didn't want to get into it in Libya were none other than Hillary Clinton, Samantha Powers, who's the national security, and Rice, over there at the ambassador to the UN. These are the three women that pushed this war. So I'm tired of hearing this stuff that if only women were in charge. So when we're looking at this war, let's understand what it's really all about. It's about the same reason why we're in Afghanistan and in Iraq. All of the precious minerals and natural resources, pipeline routes through Afghanistan, and Iraq sitting on what? The second largest oil reserves in the world. And it's the same thing for Libya. People could care less about Libya if it wasn't about the oil, just like they don't care. As we're speaking now, the hypocrisy cannot be clearer. 450 people killed in the Ivory Coast. A million are fleeing their homes as a civil war is breaking out. Hey, Obama, how about those human rights?
Well, kinda Gerald,
slipped out the door.
Well, I mean, Gerald, look, the truth is bombing all of Libya, keeping the war going, is going to exacerbate a humanitarian crisis. But what about the Orwellian level of the resolution saying it's not a war, the Pentagon saying it's kinetic military action, the 2,200 Marines, the thousands of British Marines, the Marine commander saying we're getting ready to go in on the ground, but it's going to be humanitarian. We're only going to be advisors helping with transportation, medicine, and giving weapons to them. So now a bombing campaign is not a war. Now, ground troops is not a war. And we're not even hearing about Fukushima, whose reactor number 2 went into full meltdown and melted out of its container down into the groundwater. Total Chernobyl now. And the government saying nothing to worry about. I mean, this is incredible.
Heil Obama. I mean, look, they just abrogated all our rights. Where's the people rising up and standing up? We just saw him on television saying he will do. There were 22 I's in his speech. I ordered this. I want that. I believe this. Hey, whatever happened to we the people? And I don't want to upset anybody now, but I thought that was part of the whole deal. No, we the people don't count for anything. You have these megalomaniacs running the White House, running foreign policy, and running the world. Whether it's Sarko, the little American over there, that little weenie Cameron, that little Eaton boy over there in the UK. I'm sick and tired of these people getting us into war. If they want to, quote, take out Gaddafi, go do it, man to man, woman to woman. We could balance the budget, put it on pay-per-view. Everybody will love
Let's
it.
Let's put a 50-pound pack on Hillary and let her, with a parachute, jump out of an airplane over Tripoli if she's such a commando. But going back to this...
You're going to need a big parachute with another 50 pounds on that.
but I mean, Gerald, looking at this, Obama, as you said... It's federal law. It's the Constitution. He had to get authorization from Congress. At least Bush got a resolution from Congress authorizing force. It was still an illegal criminal war. They've just dispensed with the Congress having any power, and the Congress is servile other than Ron Paul and Rand Paul, and are just saying, great, we'll do whatever you say, der Fuhrer.
Yeah, Kucinich also came out against it. But you're right. And then that's exactly what's going on. And then read Obama's statement. I'm sure you have it back from 2007, December, at the Boston Globe, when he was asked about what are the war powers.
He said Congress should always be consulted, the American people. The president can't do this on his own. Biden said that he would impeach Bush if he attacked Iran without congressional authorization. But now it doesn't matter. And now a lot of these liberals, they are liking war right now. They're feeling powerful.
You know, that was what I was going to say next. The whimpercrats are the worst. That quiche-eating grin and that balsamic smile. When their guy does it, it's okay. You know, it's all right when Obama does it. They'll make up any excuse. If Bush was in there now, they'd be bashing Bush. You know, they're more disgusting than anybody. My line is, conservatives believe, liberals lie. You know, there are these wackos out there that say things like, we got to bomb Iran and get all them Muslims dead. I mean, these people actually believe that. The liberals have the intellectual capacity to know that they're lying to themselves. They know the facts, but they don't, because they're whippocrats, they have no spine to admit that they've been had. And they're even more dangerous than the wackos, because the wackos, you know, you can tell. But the liberals, you know, they pretend to be sane.
Now, I want to get into some other areas, but you did on this show, I remember 2 years ago, say that by 2011 or so, it'll be clear that it's a depression. Then they'll start a new war as a distraction. What comes next then in your historical crystal ball?
We're concerned really about whether it's a false flag or a terrorist strike. Look, everybody knows that Gaddafi's, you know, he's a megalomaniac. He's been in power for 42 years. He said he's going to go out as a martyr. So maybe before he goes out, you know, how about a little dirty bomb for Paris or some biological
And they'll love that.
Warfare?
That will legitimize the police state, legitimize the war in people's eyes, or they could stage one and say he did it. And now they're reporting 160 Al-Qaeda nukes in America with no proof.
Oh, yeah. You're like, they're all going to go off on, you know, Wednesday at 7:30 in the morning. You know, no, it's all this stuff, but they keep putting the fear card out there. But the reality, too, Alex, is the United States, the same day the United States bombed Libya, and the headline read 25 dead in Libya, and it was a response from the Libyans killing people. 50 were killed over in Yemen. 38 from one of those Predator drones, you know, the United States likes to send over in Pakistan, that killed 38 innocent people. You think there's any hatred and revenge? How about what just happened again in Afghanistan? A number of civilians were wiped out.
Little kids getting firewood, but that's humanitarian.
That's humanitarian. Isn't it the hypocrisy? You talk about genocide. Anybody forget about what? The million people killed in Iraq by the United States? So what I'm saying is there is a lot of legitimate cause for a lot of people to want to have a revenge attack on the United States. It doesn't have to be a false flag. The next war we're going to see is going to be one of suitcase-sized nukes that we've been writing about for years, and real weapons of mass destruction, biological warfare, dirty bombs, and it's going to go worldwide. We have crazy people leading us into war, and everyone their lips are sealed, and they're letting it happen. It's up to the people to stop this madness, because you can't look to madmen to help you. And the madmen are in Congress. They're called the Republicans and the Democrats.
You're right. Dennis Kucinich, a few of the Democrats, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, the only people saying, hey, you're supposed to get congressional approval. You know, we're the other branch of government that makes these decisions and you execute. There's really no debate about that. I've seen a few editorials by conservatives and liberals and libertarians. And it's just so incredible. And as the tyranny expands, the bureaucrats get more and more wild as they get away with it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know the answer. And I, you know, if I did, you know. So what I'm saying, everyone out there, come up with the greatest ideas that you have. For example, what can we do collectively to say we're not going to pay X amount of our taxes that go to the military?
I'll tell you what, stay there. Let's get into the economy. More trends forecasting straight ahead. Gerald Celente, I'm Alex Jones. The New York Times was very proud of the bombardment of all of Serbia with DU, at least four times birth defects now in the country. They're bombing Libya with DU that has a 4.5 billion year half-life and it's deadly. All of this is happening. And Gerald Celente mentioned Samantha Power, the assistant to President Obama. She's Cass Sunstein's wife, the guy that says ban free speech in America publicly, says arrest people that he doesn't agree with, total tyrants, but they're liberal. And the DU is liberal when they drop it. She's not even American. I love Irish folks, but I'm not over there running their country. So many of these people running our government are foreigners. She's Irish, hadn't even lived here that long, and she's a warmonger. Maybe they'll give her a peace prize because she drops DU on people. Gerald?
Yeah, Norway should be Orwell spelled backwards for giving Obama the peace prize. And talking about peace and Obama's stance when he made this speech, I want to read this. To brush aside America's responsibility as a leader and more profoundly, our responsibilities to our fellow human beings under such circumstances, meaning Libya, would have been a betrayal of who we are. Some nations may be able to turn a blind eye to atrocities in other countries. The United States is different. Hey, how about to those atrocities going on over there in Saudi Arabia and in Bahrain? Now let's look at this. What if the Soviet Russia, Putin, decides that we're going to bring democracy to Saudi Arabia? We're going to give those women rights. They have none now. We're doing this because we're the great Russian people. How would Americans respond to that one?
Well, that's how the new imperial invasion works. They fund the people to rise up. Then we've got to go in and attack this country because it's humanitarian grounds. I mean, this is so transparent what's happening.
Yeah, but again, what would happen if Russia went into Saudi Arabia? What would happen if Russia had gone into Libya?
Well, that's like preemptive war that Bush announced. Do other countries get to attack people first now? Because everybody always knew the bad guys attack first. Now the good guys attack first. Well, does that mean everybody can attack their neighbor now? Does that mean Saddam was good for attacking Kuwait?
Now, only America's good. We're the only ones that know good. Or no good.
Now, I want to shift gears.
Hypocrisy, as I said, you know, it's everywhere. The facts are the facts, and the facts are that people are getting slaughtered all over the world, and when there's no money in it, nobody cares.
Now, Gerald, we're doing 5 more minutes with you in the next hour. Then we're going to your calls, those that are holding on the fact that it is public that Al-Qaeda is being run by the U.S. government. But going back to you, Gerald, here in the end of this segment, the next, the economy, what do you see happening there?
Well, you just read some of those housing statistics that came out. Well, the housing prices are down over 33%. That's worse than Great Depression levels. We're looking at volume that's going to last for years of empty homes. This isn't going anywhere. The only thing that's happened is, and again, you only go by the facts, that this recovery was, they said it from the beginning, was to save the too big to fails. They did it. The rich got richer and everybody else got poorer. This isn't, you know, a line. Let's look at the facts. 10% of the population controls 90% of all of the stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. 5% of the population controls 65% of all the wealth. You look at the numbers. Look at Christmas sales when they happen. Where was the big increase? The luxury items. The Ponzi scheme is collapsing. Madoff had an interview in New York Magazine in February 27th. Out of this whole piece of garbage, there were 2 lines worth listening
to. Stay there. Give us those lines when we come back in 1 minute.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Gerald, I remember when we first started interviewing you about 4 years ago, you said the next big bubble to pop was education. Now, you were called, you know, paranoid then. Now the mainstream media, the big hot thing, is admitting that it's a big scam, a ripoff. 9 die in Alabama hospital because of infected IV bags. Hundreds of thousands die a year because of hospital problems. Bad drug interactions. But we've got to give all our rights up because the terrorist might attack us. But the real terrorist are the people that created the NASDAQ, like Bernie Madoff. But even a crook like him can tell the truth. Tell folks what he said.
Well, he said 2 things that stuck in my mind. One was that he said, as soon as I got into the business, I learned right away you had to be on the inside and the game is rigged. The game is rigged. That's Bernie's words. And he should know, Gabish, it's rigged. It's a sucker's bet. Number 2, and this goes back to where the economy is going. He said the government is one big Ponzi scheme. The king of Ponzi should know about a Ponzi scheme. And that's what this is. The global Ponzi scheme is collapsing. That's why you're seeing all of these revolts going on. And as I said, when all else fails, they take you to war. Look what's going on over in Europe with the European Monetary Union. Portugal's toast. Greeks are cooked.
Again, you, Tarpley, and countless other real economists, researchers, experts, years ago, named the countries, Greece, then Ireland, then Portugal, then Spain, then France, then Germany, then England, then the U.S. But instead, the bankers are posing as the saviors for the crisis that they've created. And now the headlines are EU collapsing exactly as we knew it would begin to.
Exactly. So here's what they've done. Make this very simple. They keep pushing this money out to their buddies, as we saw with the one-time reporting from Dodd-Frank. And we found out $20 trillion worth of federal money. Here's the way it works. You're a bank. Here, Alex. Here's $20 billion. Get it back out into the system. You're going to give me $20 billion? Yeah, don't worry about it. No interest. You're my pal. When do I pay you back? Don't worry about it. Just get that money out there. Keep the damn game going. And they give it to Germany. They give it to Switzerland. They give it to France. They give it to General Electric. And you saw those numbers that came out. How much tax did General Electric pay? You know, so this is what they're doing. They keep pushing this money, and the EU is doing the same thing. The Maastricht Agreement, it ain't worth nothing.
Listen, I have an employee who gets paid decent money, has great credit, had a bank account with J.P. Morgan Chase for 7 years. He went in to get a little car loan, and they were rude to him, and the banker told him, you get nothing. And the hundreds of billions they've gotten in the bailout money, it goes to their bonuses, and they've cut lending when they're supposed to loan it out. They're hoarding it all, because the worse the economy gets, the more they can buy up everything.
You got it. And you look at the merger and acquisition action going on now. It's increased. You know what I say? These guys are no more than money junkies. They can't get enough. And they want everything that you have. And they don't care if you're dying or you're dead. They're going to grab it from you. Look, and talking about dying or dead, they want to increase now the retirement age till after you're dead. How's that? That'll work just fine.
And by the way, in closing, fake conservatives all over talk radio say, don't do anything to the banks. They're free market. No, they're getting government welfare. They're running the government. And I'm so sick of these fake conservatives lying to their listeners and saying the bankers are good.
Oh, and how about this one? In talking about balancing the budget? Hey, yeah, let's start another war. Detroit isn't worth anything anymore. Let's, you know, spend a couple of $100 million a day on another losing war. Where are the conservatives there?
Well said. TrendsResearch.com, TrendsResearch.com. Always great to have Gerald Celente on with us. God bless you, my friend. Look forward to speaking to you in the near future. TrendsResearch.com.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Well, we have 52 minutes left in live transmission. Fukushima number 2 is completely melted down and is basically going Chernobyl. 10,000 times safe radiation was reported last week. As of Sunday, it was 100,000 times. We're going to be recapping that. But I want to go to Michael, John, Jesse, George, Perry, and others that have been patiently holding, because before Gerald Celente, always informative, joined us, I was getting into Newsweek, Fox, AP, New York Times, showing you the articles where the FBI cooks the bomb, trains the driver, lets them bomb the World Trade Center the first time, uses Al-Qaeda against the Serbs when the Serbs fight back, NATO bombs them with DU. 6 weeks ago, CIA sending in people to lead Al-Qaeda against the secular Muammar Gaddafi. Anwar al-Awlaki back in the news saying he's going to get us, give all your rights up. Of course, he directly hangs out at the Pentagon. Al-Qaeda leader died at the Pentagon just months after 9/11, Fox News. And now they're saying 160 nukes are buried in America and about to go off. And their proof is a letter was mailed in. We're going to your calls in a moment. But first, threats claim nuclear bombs hidden all over U.S. Actually, I guess you could write a letter. I don't recommend it. It would be a terroristic threat. In fact, don't do it. But the point is, hypothetically, you could write a letter saying there are 5,000-foot leprechauns buried to 160 locations that are fire-breathing and are going to dig out of the ground and start attacking 160 cities next Thursday. And you could send the letter in to Homeland Security, and they'd come out and say 160 multi-thousand-foot leprechauns that fire laser beams out of their eyes and lightning bolts come out of their other regions, and they're going to sit on your building and fire lightning bolts into it. A letter came in. It must be true. Remember the college student in San Francisco 6 years ago did a fake beheading for a week. It was real Al-Qaeda because the media is primed. You always see AP, new bin Laden email, new al-Awlaki email. And it'll just say at the bottom, they'll say it's all facts for two pages, a little proviso at the bottom. We can't confirm this is real. It was on a message board. I mean, I could go on my message board and say, I am Osama bin Laden. I am going to land in a flying saucer tomorrow. I mean, it's just, but here it is. Oh, my gosh, give all your rights up. There's 160 nukes. And the globalists may detonate one. I've seen that in the cards for a long time. Now, they may actually have some buried. It'll be Anwar al-Awlaki that did it. But then no one will question, well, why is he hanging out at the Pentagon? Why is al-Qaeda working for the Pentagon? Why is the CIA running the attacks? It'll just be, shut up, you un-American. But I'm like, I have all the articles. They don't deny it. Shut up. Everybody knows al-Awlaki, under bin Laden, launched that nuke attack. Threats came in the mail, and to date, there have been 25 letters to warn of nuclear bombs destroying America. And it could be the government, could be a crazy person, doesn't matter, it's fun to get scared. People who got them called the FBI and CBS2. And it goes on, FBI Special Agent Andre Zavilla said, yes, they've alarmed a lot of people. The al-Qaeda organization has planted 160 nuclear bombs throughout the U.S. in schools, stadiums, churches, stores, financial institutions, government buildings, it said. This is a suicide mission. Folks, they have satellite spectrometer systems on record that can pick up dense nuclear systems, even hundreds of feet under the ground. It's a lie they can ship these in containers. It's a lie. It's a lie. They stand out like a sore thumb under these aircraft-based and satellite-based and drone-based systems. The writer, who claims to be Osama bin Laden, tells the reader that nukes are remote-controlled. Oh, yes. They've been there for decades, the nuclear bombs, and they're all just ready to go off, and he hits one button from his cave. Uh-huh. It was clear the writer wanted to scare me, said Rizzo. So just mail something to your neighbor saying that a 14-foot Easter bunny with giant fangs dripping acid is going to suck their brain out, and they'll run around screaming to the FBI. I'm sorry, I'm done. But we got a big video coming out today. I want to go mega viral. I don't know the title yet. In fact, I ought to just get Aaron or somebody to write a blurb with it, an article that the video is coming soon, so we could do a Google bomb. We haven't done one of those in weeks, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? What should the headline be? Al-Qaeda is 100% New World Order run? Or Al-Qaeda is 100% Pentagon run? Yeah, that'll be the headline. You other blogs want the attention? Fine, great. Headline, and the video's going to be coming out soon. He's in there working on it. It'll be at the Alex Jones channel, InfoWars, Prison Planet. When it comes out, email it to everybody you know. But I'm going to go ahead and get the title up so that when the, you know, and the video is coming later, we'll do a compilation of articles with all the admissions of al-Qaeda being government run under it. And the headline will be al-Qaeda, 100% created and run by the Pentagon. And then we will go with a headline, a three-word search out of it. Al-Qaeda, Pentagon run. Al-Qaeda, Pentagon run. That's the three words. Al-Qaeda, Pentagon run. Al-Qaeda, Pentagon run. Hit them hard. Let's make it number one on Google. Go to Google, type it in over and over again. Send it out to everybody. Al-Qaeda, Pentagon run. Al-Qaeda, Pentagon run. Get it out there. Let's go to Michael in Texas. Michael, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. I tell you, I don't even know where to start, but it's funny. Gerald Celente was talking about the three women, Samantha Powers, Rice, and then Hillary Clinton. Guess who Cass Sunstein's married to? Samantha Powers. Could you imagine living in that house?
Well, they're liberals, though, so it's good to drop DU on countries and that she's not even an American running things. And Cass Sunstein says arrest people he disagrees with. That's liberal. I mean, even New York Magazine praised him and basically said this is how you deal with Alex Jones. I mean, maybe Cass has got a point.
Yeah, and that's the way our government's run. It's not run by our elected representatives who are public servants. It's run by these bureaucrats who don't care about what the Constitution says. They just implement their own rules and legislation, regardless of whether our state, local, or federal elected representatives want it done.
And there's a name for that. It's called tyrants.
That's right. Hey, Alex, I'm a 22-year telecommunications representative, engineer with some of the bigger telecommunications companies. I know that you're very aware, because I've heard you talk about it before, of this this technology whereby it's actually called CALIA, where law enforcement agencies can actually monitor everything that we say and do over the telecommunications infrastructure. the scariest thing about that technology is it's manufactured and serviced by Israeli companies.
Yes.
Now, if you look up a company called Comverse, C-O-M as in Mary, V-E-R-S-E, they are a Tel Aviv-based company. And when working for one of the larger telecom companies, when we were installing this equipment, I alerted our management to the fact that, hey, these people over in Tel Aviv have 24/7 access to not only what all of the general public is...
Yeah, not only the NSA, not only the NSA has black boxes and black fiber that everything runs through, Israel does, and that's been public for a decade, because that's what this country's all about, being completely run by foreigners.
Right, and it's the scariest part about all of it is this Tel Aviv company has the ability to not only see what we say and do, but what all of our law enforcement does and plans. So if you were, some terrorist organization, and we all know that Al-Qaeda is run by the Pentagon and probably our buddies over in Israel, if they wanted to plan false flag terrorist activities, they know exactly what all of our local and state and federal law enforcement agents are doing, where they are, they know all of our plans. So when it comes to, implementing their agenda, they know everything that our law enforcement's doing. Another very scary thing about the way telecommunications is going, you've heard about 4G and LTE. Well, Alex, the scary thing about this network is it is an IP-based network.
It tracks exactly where you are, then it ties into the GPS tracking coordinates, and they can dial in over the 1996 Telecommunications Act with the onboard spy chips to turn the phones and devices on and listen to you and watch you.
And it doesn't use standard cable and pair from the central office to your home. It uses the internet as the backbone. So just like the president and everyone else in Congress now seems to want this internet kill switch, it's not just going to kill your internet.
It's the phones, everything, and that's why they say Obama will pop up on your smartphone with announcements. If you go to Walmart, the telescreens, they're going to be in your life, they admit, forcing their way in front of you and surveilling everything you do.
Exactly. Scary thing, too, Alex. Did you ever play that game Risk when you were growing up?
Yes.
Board game?
Yes.
Well, you would always put all of your pieces around your most valuable territories. Well, look at the agenda that the globalists have. If you were going to try to take over the United States, what would you do? First of all, you'd disarm all the general public.
You'd take control of the monetary system, take control of education, take control of telecommunications, surveil everyone. Every major professional I talk to is being approached by Homeland Security to spy on everyone. The U.S. is completely converting to a nightmare system.
But look what's going on in New York and California. The people are going to be broke. The state and local governments are going to be broke, so there's not going to be any local
23 43 states are now going publicly into receivership under the feds.
Yes, and then the people are going to be starving to death. And then because our military is so spread out around the whole world, Alex, I don't think that this nation any longer is immune to attack by a foreign force. I think that we are going to be so broke monetarily, morally, we're going to be starving to death. And look at the two coasts of this country are going to be the populations are fleeing from New York and California. Look at the numbers. The populations of these coastal states are just...
They're running from the socialism. And then as we collapse into depression, the giant hordes of lazy welfare heads are going to be turned into auxiliary police with automatic weapons, robbing, stealing everything, while George Soros sits offshore laughing with pleasure. More calls. John, Jesse, George, Perry. We'll get to everybody. Stay with us. We'll be right back. By the way, if you've studied history, as the globalists have, when they execute an implosion of an economy, it normally goes into a worse tyranny, and that's what they've been setting up lovingly. And so we are headed into very dark times, but if we're able to preposition the info, warn people, it's not going to go well for the globalists. So we're in a race to get the word out. John in South Carolina, you're on the air worldwide.
Hey, Alex. Hey, how you doing? Just want to thank you for everything you do. And my wife and I woke up about a year ago, and you know, we went out and purchased your DVDs, and now we're trying to wake up as many people as we possibly can. One of the things I wanted to discuss with you is the state of the economy and the blatant manipulation of the markets. You know, where the common person can't really be able to take advantage of, you know, the market runs.
Well, yeah, because it's, I mean, it's a rigged casino. It's like going to Las Vegas and trying to win. I mean, you might win 3 times out of 10, but in the aggregate, you're going to lose. And they use Wall Street's health and the health of overall stock prices as the only barometer of the economy. It's completely false.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I trade futures and commodities full time, and I'll tell you, you look at the charts and you see what they do on a daily basis, and it's just amazing. You know, the other day markets went, you know, straight up, and you know, today they come out with a ADP report where they added 201,000 jobs out of, you know, thin air, and you know, it's just so blatant. They're not even trying to even cover it up anymore. And one of the other things too is I'm trying to educate people about the Federal Reserve and how it operates. And one of the books that I picked up was by Ellen Hodgson, Web of Debt, and I use also The Secret of Oz, Bill Still's video, and excellent resource on, you know, the system and how they use it against us.
And by the way, we're in a race to wake up the general public, because if we don't explain to them what's really happening, the globalists are going to pose as the saviors in the crisis they created and clamp down on us even more. Every person you wake up, especially pastors, police chiefs, mayors, county commissioners, school board, bankers, the more people you wake up and the more people that see that you're awake, then they feel safe in coming out themselves for freedom. We're in a race against the globalist. I cannot stress that enough.
Yeah, and one more thing is that, you know, at the federal level, trying to combat this at the federal level, I really don't think that, you know, we as an average citizen really stand a chance. I think what we should do is basically try to combat this at the state level.
That's why the John Warner Defense Authorization Act says that they'll take over the states if governors try to do what the people say. You're absolutely right. That's the 10th Amendment, 9th Amendment remedy. That's what they're scared of. We've got to have a dual fight to expose the feds as illegitimate, run by foreign bankers, take the states back. It's beginning to happen. Great job. Appreciate your call. Great points. Jesse in Louisiana, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex. Before I get into it, I just wanted to, I guess, illustrate my qualifications. I'm a veteran. I've been in the war for 7 years. Fought in Afghanistan, Iraq, Africa. And we conducted a lot of field studies regarding suicide bombers, extremist culture, force threat prevention, that kind of stuff. And the first thing that really got me looking at this situation in Libya and then now here with these letters, they use the exact same verbiage about going into war in Afghanistan even before 9/11. I'm looking at an article now from June of 2001 where they were talking about, quote, limited military action, which is exactly the same terms they use in going into Libya. Of course, now it's kinetic action, but... In dealing with these letters, I mean, you have to just look at the implausibility of the whole story. I mean, there's so many controls around nuclear weapons. The thought that they could go unaccounted for the time it would take to get the material, build it, distribute it, place it, write the letters, send them out. Nobody saw this material missing yet. I mean...
Even Russian and U.S. built frogs or small tacks a lot of times didn't even work because they're so delicate. But we're to believe Al-Qaeda placed and never got caught in 160 missions burying nukes.
It's a lot of material to not be noticed. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know when that plutonium or whatever went missing up in Vancouver before the Olympics, everybody knew about that as soon as it happened.
Sir, to say that to hype that Al-Qaeda has 160 nukes buried in government buildings, I mean, that is completely impossible.
It's very impossible.
Unless it's an inside job.
Well, It's got to be, but I mean...
Hold on, I got Dr. Paul Craig Roberts coming up, but for 1 minute when we come back, I want to ask you, as a seasoned military veteran, what do you think about Al-Qaeda always being protected by the Pentagon and Anwar al-Awlaki hanging out at the Pentagon? We're getting Roberts on now, but I want to have you answer that question, then I'm going to ask him the question on the other side. Okay, we're going to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, joining us by phone here in a moment. And we're going to get to George, Perry, Robert, and Jasper, at least while Roberts is on with us. But I want to get Roberts' take on his new article published at Infowars.com and many other places about Obama takes the U.S. to new levels of hypocrisy. We'll also get his expertise on the housing numbers that are coming out and the fact that the Fed's monetizing more and more of the debt. And how he sees the Japan crisis tying into all that. Former head of policy, Department of Treasury, father of Reaganomics, no stranger to this show. But Jesse, I threw the question out with the head of NATO admitting that, yes, Al-Qaeda was the first group, the core group, attacking Muammar Gaddafi, Anwar al-Awlaki hanging out secretly at the Pentagon, but back in the news today, menacing us. The underwear bomber he controlled, the U.S. agents helping get the underwear bomber on the plane. I mean, is the military aware of the fact that, sure, there's some useful idiot ground Islamicists that really believe they're jihading, but the leadership of these guys is basically tied into this corporate crime syndicate and is being used to attack the Serbs, attack Gaddafi, to menace the U.S. into giving up our liberties? I mean, what's your view on that as a veteran?
Well, I know for a fact, you know, when you're in a leadership position and you're told to do stuff, you know, you got blinders on and it's all you can do to just do what you're told and get through whatever it is we have to get through. But I mean, we were very frustrated on the ground, especially in Afghanistan, because no matter where we would go, it was like Al-Qaeda was like a phantom. It was like this mystery boogeyman that, like, we would go to villages and we would be told in our intelligence reports, oh, you're the first Americans to ever go in this area. And we'd get there and we'd see, like, MRE trash on the ground, and people would be like, you know, our interpreters would talk to the locals and they'd be like, oh, yeah, there's some white guys here like 2 hours ago. And, like,
yeah, I mean, it's a wild goose chase. And the Times of London reports thousands of Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders that were caught in 2001, 2002 were ordered to be released and then paid. Did you guys know about that?
Yeah, well, we don't receive any information. We're so busy and over there doing what we're doing. I mean, there were some times when we'd get on, you know, get to see the news and we'd see Geraldo or somebody on there talking about something that never even happened, like on missions that we were on. And just completely fabricating being attacked and getting contact with the enemy and everything. And we were just told, you know, oh, well, don't worry about that. That's just, you know, that's just news speak and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, it was just like no matter what misinformation was being put out there, it was just, you know, oh, just do your job and be a good soldier and, you know, we'll take care of the American people.
Well, that's it. Al-Qaeda is a phantom chess piece that they put on the map wherever they want to invade, or they have Al-Qaeda attack the Serbs, attack Gaddafi, and then humanitarian bombing. And they're now admitting, yeah, we're going to land troops, but it's going to be humanitarian backup to the rebels. And then they admit to fine print they were there months ago setting the whole thing up. It's incredible. God bless you, sir. I appreciate your call. I wanted to basically ask that question of the Afghanistan-Iraq veteran as I then pose it to you, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, because now I'm finally going on big national conservative shows. And mainline big hosts are saying, you're right, Alex. I guess it is true. Al-Qaeda is a creation of the Pentagon. And you're right. It's all staged. So I really think they've gone too far. Dr. Roberts, what's your take on this?
Well, Alex, I can't claim to know. My own opinion is that the wall of terror is a hoax. And it's a cover for undeclared agendas. I don't know what all those agendas are. I have some idea about what some of them might be. And I also suspect that Al-Qaeda is a hoax, that there's really no such thing other than something that the CIA has created as part of this undeclared agenda. But I don't know. I don't have any inside information, and anyone who does doesn't tell me. But I've been suspicious of this war on terror since the beginning, because I remember a neighbor calling me when the building, the World Trade Center towers were being attacked, and said, Trump TV, and I turned it on. As you may remember, they showed over and over the buildings coming down. And I could see the buildings weren't falling down. They were blowing up. It's obvious they were blowing up. And so I've always wondered of that. And the other thing that made me think it was a hoax was that if the official story is correct, and a few Saudi Arabians pulled this off, it's the most massive government failure in world history. There's never been such a coordinated, total failure of every aspect of the government. You know, not, you know, all the intelligence agencies, NORAD, air traffic control, airport security, the Pentagon, everything failed.
But such a perfect execution by guys directed from caves. Doctor, can
Wait. Let me get to the real point. Real point is that if this was actually true and happened, the president, the National Security Council, the CIA, the Congress would all be demanding to know, how in the world could this have happened? How could so many people fail? They would have insisted immediately on an investigation just to find out how our systems could so totally fail, and heads would have rolled. Somebody would have been held accountable. And yet, they resisted all investigations, and no heads ever rolled for what the government says is the most massive failure of government in human history. So these things make me suspicious. And then what also makes me suspicious is all this hypocrisy we see. All of a sudden now we're concerned about humanitarian death in Libya. Well, why aren't we concerned about all the ones we inflict? I mean, we wrecked Iraq for, 7 or 8 years that we've been wrecking Afghanistan, what is it now, for almost 10 years. We never say a word when the Israelis wreck Lebanon and wreck Gaza. We don't say a word about all the deaths in Bahrain or Yemen. We routinely kill people in Pakistan with drones. We force the Pakistani army to attack its own people, its own tribes. And all of a sudden now we have humanitarian concerns in Libya. So it doesn't really make any sense, you know what I mean? And you can just see it doesn't make any sense. And so you figure that there's some agenda going on and they're not telling us what it is.
Yes, sir. Do me a favor. You're coming through pretty good, but perhaps if you're using a headset or a regular phone, just speak directly into it, Dr. Paul Greg Roberts, because we really want to hear what you have to say. But, I mean, here's a piece of evidence. Al-Qaeda leader dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11 while he was, you know, a wanted man on the news. And Anwar al-Awlaki is involved in all these domestic attacks. He's on the news menacing us. We're now told he's the head guy under bin Laden. Shouldn't there be an investigation on why he was hanging out at the Pentagon having dinner with the Secretary of the Army and the top brass if he's such a deadly Al-Qaeda commander?
Well, you would think so, yes. You know, another giveaway, Alex, I think we've talked about this before, is all of the terror cases, domestic terror cases, they're all orchestrated by the FBI. So why does the FBI have to go to such extreme lengths to ensnare people who are not inclined to be terrorists into some fabricated terrorist act so that they can actually have a real case? I mean, if we're overrun by terrorists, you'd think they would be everywhere, and the government wouldn't have to be spending all this time and money trying to create terrorists out of people who aren't. And every one of these cases that have gone to court have been terrorism plots organized by the FBI. So, again, this tells you that there's really no Al-Qaeda, that the FBI has to go out and mimic it. So we know the results of war and police state, so we have to figure that's two of the agendas.
Yes, sir. Shifting gears into your latest article dealing with Obama taking America to new heights of hypocrisy, you've already hit on some of that, but in my 16 and a half, 17 years, you know, studying this 24/7 and looking at it, I've never seen, as soon as you think Clinton's Orwellian and then Bush is Orwellian and now Obama, they say, don't call it a war. It's a kinetic military action. Don't call dropping DU bombs military. Now we learn they did arm the rebels beforehand. Al-Qaeda's involved. Now they've got the Marines saying, yeah, we're going to land, and the British Marines, but it's going to be backing up the rebels, so it's not a military action, and there's not going to be a ground war, but we are going to be on the ground. I mean, it's beyond 1984. Why are they so arrogant now?
Because they've gotten away with it. No one's been held accountable. You know, the Bush regime, well, Clinton got away with it in Serbia, right? Bombing people. And then the Bush regime got away with flagrant violations of statutory U.S. law. I mean, he didn't have, it wasn't something simple like sex with an intern. I mean, he created massive numbers of felonies under the law. And so Bush should have been arrested and prosecuted and imprisoned. And any number of the members of the administration, they're all criminals under American law. And yet nothing, there was even any protest about it. You know, the violation of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act is a felony for every offense. It's a felony. So how many millions of wiretaps did they make? You know, torture is a felony under United States law. And yet Bush can write in his autobiography or his memoirs or whatever that he ordered it and that he would, you know, was proud to do it. And so if there's no accountability, they can just do whatever. And they now use words in ways that are just obviously such distortions. If we now have them, we're going to have troops on the ground, but it's not troops on the ground. So
it's incredible. I mean, you study history, as you've done. This megalomania always sets in, and I think that will be their undoing, is that they've gone so power mad, and pride goes before a fall, hubris goes before a fall. The problem is this 1,000-foot edifice is going to fall on us when it falls. How do you see this ending? And then let's go through some of the hypocrisy and what you think their end game is.
I don't know what their end game is, and I don't understand why they're taking these massive risks with the economy, with the dollar. You know, the whole thing could explode at any time, and unless they have some kind of, I just don't think they've got the whole world under their thumb. So I don't see, I don't know why they don't see the risk. You know, we have these massive budget deficits that are getting worse because there's no recovery and there's no way to finance them except by printing money. Well, how long can you print a new $1.5 trillion every year before the dollar disappears as a currency? You can't do that very long. It's just, and if they say, oh, we're going to stop printing the money and we're going to take all the money back out, which is what Bernanke said, well, they can't do that without sending the interest rates, you know, off into the universe somewhere. I mean, the whole economy would just collapse.
Well, doctor,
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing, what they're not thinking, unless it's some kind of agenda we don't know about that makes sense of all this, but I can't figure out what it would be.
Well, doctor, I mean, you were the guy who ran the Treasury Department, the head of policy, or, you know, listed by many major publications as one of the top 10 living economists. Yeah, stuff you predicted 5-6 years ago on this show is now happening. The monetization of debt is accelerating. All of this is happening. Inflation is rearing its head in some areas, but the overall depression is putting the brakes on that. And now the meltdown of Europe into Portugal, Spain is beginning. I mean, where does this end?
Well, in catastrophe. You see, but look, Alex, there's already been mass inflation. Food prices haven't reflected it yet. The cereal grains have gone up tremendously, you know, 30, 40, 50, 100%, some of them. When that works its way through the food processing companies, everybody's going to see And when that hit the first time, they can no longer hide the inflation in the way they rig the consumer price index. The first time there's really a sign of inflation, what do you think is going to happen to interest rates? Because all the bonds are so highly priced now, the interest rates are practically zero, and a lot of people remaining wealth is in bonds because they know the stock market is being driven by money creation. Well, once those interest rates move up, the bond prices are going to collapse, and whatever's left of private wealth will be ruined. So I don't know. I don't think there's any fault, and we could say, well, the agenda is to destroy everything, but why would people with power want to destroy the basis of their power? So I can't believe that's it either, and it may just be what you said. It's hubris. Believe that they're omnipotent and so powerful that nothing they do can come back to bite them. Maybe that's the craziness. Or it's just the short-term, greed-driven, profit-driven oligarchies. You know, there are very few ruling economic elites. It's Wall Street, the military security complex, the oil industry. They may all be focused on such short-run profits. We're going to steal everything we can, and we're going to be rich. And maybe they think they can do that and get out of the dollar before it goes. But if you look at all those profits all those people have, they try to get out of the dollar. That's like China and Japan and OPEC trying to get out of the dollar at the same time. It just can't happen. I just don't know, Alex. I have no idea other than how do you avoid the catastrophe.
Well, they knew this Ponzi scheme would lead to this, and so they're racing to get as much as they can before it collapses. And George Soros, as I'm sure you know, in 4 days is going to be, or 5 days is going to be, meeting back at Bretton Woods, openly calling for a new international order. He's got all these bigwigs coming in. So I think they plan to pose as the saviors and bring in a new level of bubble. But many economists I've talked to just say that things are still so based in U.S. bonds that you can't transition quickly to something new because it will radically deteriorate quickly as well.
Yes, I don't think they can transition. And the reason I don't think they can, I don't think China will cooperate. I don't think Brazil will cooperate. I don't think Russia will cooperate. I just don't see how they can transition. And I don't think you can create a new world order by causing everybody to lose confidence in you. If we wanted to do something like that, we should have behaved quite differently and made everybody feel secure and confident, and that our leadership made sense and was sound and that people could understand what we were doing. But instead, we've had all these senseless wars, the massive costs, resulting in massive deficits that can't be financed except by printing money. The whole world knows this. So I just, you know, we have the puppet states of Europe. We can get them to do what we want. We have the puppet state of Canada and Australia. We've been trying to create a few puppet states out of former constituent parts of the Soviet Union, such as Georgia and the Ukraine. But that's not enough. And we're in the process, it appears, of losing some of our Middle Eastern puppet states. I mean, I don't think the CIA is behind all of these revolts in all of these countries.
No, they're trying to steer them. But let me throw this point in at you, because I think it backs up your point about it being hubris. And they think they're in control, but they're really not in control. And I think that's evidenced by Fukushima. They've now had complete meltdown at reactor 2. It's melted down through the floor. It could blow up like Chernobyl anytime. Many physicists, nuclear physicists we've had on, have said this is already far worse than Chernobyl. And our government says it's no problem. The Japanese government, it turns out, has been covering things up. Why did they build it on a fault line? Why did they store the spent rods on top of the reactors? I mean, that's another example of just these people just always doing it in the most flimsy way they can, and it just shows an overall breakdown of common sense and no long-term view by the global ruling elite. I mean, they're just a bunch of nutcases.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah, I think that and a bunch of liars. Everything they say is a lie. And I certainly agree with that. We have nutcases ruling, and they lie. And
what do you...
Look, you know what you ought to do? You ought to find somebody to tell you what are the temperatures inside those nuclear reactors. Because the point that struck me, I don't know anything about it, but you would think a nuclear fire is a higher temperature than a kerosene fire. And these nuclear reactors have been melting down now for over a week. And why isn't all the steel containment, which is not very thick, nothing like the steel beams in the World Trade Center towers, why is it melted?
Yes, sir.
How did the kerosene fire cause massive steel structures to collapse in an hour? You know, limited, low-temperature fires, not even throughout the building. And yet we can have these meltdowns. I don't know what temperatures are involved in
meltdowns. We know 754 degrees to about 1,200. And some reports now that the total meltdown happened in two, as high as 3,000 degrees.
A centigrade or Fahrenheit?
Fahrenheit.
Well, if you've got 1,200 degrees Fahrenheit or 3,000, you're so far beyond anything any kerosene fire can produce. And yet, the steel containment around these reactors is not melted yet. Or if it has, it's just...
Started. Well, no, actually, after 2 weeks at number two, it finally did melt through.
Two weeks. All right. Well, compare those 2 weeks, those high temperatures...
Actually, sir, to be technical, it didn't melt. Two, when it blew up, blew a hole in it, and it ran out. I'm sorry, I have the Associated Press right here.
Okay. Well, anyhow, somebody really ought to look at that, because...
No, you're right. It never melted even with thousands of degrees. I mean, to be technical, a hole was blown from the outside in one of the explosions, and it was breached, and then it melted inside and ran out. But no, it did not go through the steel.
Well, somebody needs, I don't know, but somebody that does know should face the question why nuclear fires didn't melt steel but kerosene fires did, and why nuclear fires didn't melt it after all of these days and days. But it only took an hour in one of the World Trade Center buildings and an hour and a half in the other for a limited, smothered kerosene fire to...
Well, Doctor, we have the firefighters on video and the video of it saying it was molten lava just
right.
Pouring and bubbling. I mean, how
right.
does kerosene do that?
Right. It can't. But you see, we might be able to make people... If the temperatures in those nuclear reactors are really as high as you said. We know what the maximum temperatures are in the kerosene fire, and we can just simply say, isn't this amazing that much thinner steel held up for weeks under much higher temperatures in one place, and it just completely collapsed in the other. Now, I guess NIST will come back and say, oh, well, Japanese make better steel than Americans. Maybe that's the answer.
Actually, some of that steel was Japanese.
The Japanese have fireproof steel.
Well, yeah, you can now burn a building down. They're talking about changing big building codes now, saying that a lighter can burn one down, and the engineers are fighting them on it, so they're having some trouble. In closing, Dr. Roberts, looking at this hypocrisy, what do you think of the fact that the Congress wasn't even consulted, no resolution, no authorization of force, and that only Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich, and a few others, it's like six members have complained. All the rest say, we want to be vestigial, we want to be ceremonial. When the UN gives an order to Lord Obama, he follows it. I mean, this means the end of any checks and balances.
Well, right. Obama took Bush one step further. He didn't even ask for congressional authorization. He just acted on his own. So I call this the final step into Caesarism. We now have a Caesar. He can do what he wants. The law is meaningless. It has no effect. He's not subject to law. Unless maybe he has an affair with an intern. But that's the situation we're in. U.S. government, the executive branch, only the executive branch. Of course, Congress can be penalized in the judiciary, but the executive branch is now above the law. It doesn't have to follow the law. Look how it's treating Bradley Manning. That's illegal. It's not even a protest. You'd think the ACLU would would have all kinds of court cases about the torture of Bradley Manning. But so we, you know, what is it? I don't see how it's any different than the Gestapo or Stalin.
Well, that's my next issue. You know, I think we need to take things back at the state level, continue to expose this tyranny as our last ditch to try to stop this ahead of the 1776 option. But talking to you, I mean, I kind of get sometimes that you think the only option could be 1776.
I don't really know if we have an option because the people are so ignorant. They're so brainwashed because of patriotism. And they have no preparation, and it's going to come on them suddenly.
I tell you what, Doc, we're going into overdrive. Do 5 more minutes with us if you can, and we're going to take some calls.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
I promised to go to George Perry, Robert Jasper, and others. So we're live into overdrive, deeper into the hour. We're going to let Dr. Roberts go here in about 5 minutes. Former head of policy, Reagan administration at the Treasury, written many books. His latest book, How the Economy Was Lost, The War of the Worlds, tells why America is disintegrating. And it's available just better bookstores everywhere, Amazon.com as well. He also writes public columns and just gives them out to everybody. Great guy. Used to write syndicated columns but didn't like being censored. So he just fights for absolutely free, the true mark of a true patriot. And we really appreciate he's fighting for freedom, which is the greatest prize, the great jewel. In closing, we were talking during that one-minute break, Dr. Roberts, and I was saying I wish there was a free country to move to. You were saying, yeah, there really is nowhere with these globalists. They're trying to destroy Switzerland. You pointed out that's one of the better places still, but they're trying to get rid of its laws and its sovereignty. And then you said, but I don't think that they can get China. Elaborate on that.
Well, it has a government that has long-term fault capability and that is in control of a situation, has planned to make China the world power, and that realizes the United States is insane, and will be doing whatever it can to insulate itself from the fallout of the American collapse. So I don't think China has any interest in globalism. You know, China has always been Chinese.
Isolationist.
That's right. They're Chinese, and they're not globalists. And so I don't think any kind of scheme can get them, but I could be wrong.
Well, listen, Mao had to kill 60-something million of them to get them in line. They are the original capitalists. And what you're saying is that communism is about a centimeter thick. Under it is basically isolationist business people, and China, and that won't play too well. Look how China spends all their money getting 94% of rare earth mineral mines in the world. Look right at how they're building highways, speed rail, everything. We have got a dilapidated 70-year-old rail beds in this country.
Yeah, you can hardly go anywhere on a train here. I think China is outside of their plans. And I think Russia is, too. I don't think they can get Russia. They're trying, but I don't think they can. Yeah, they almost did, but Putin put an end to that. And I just don't believe that they have the kind of power to do what this globalism thing is all about. I just don't think they have power.
But they sure run our country, and they're sure going to rob us on the way to destruction and attack every country they can.
Well, they seem to be doing that. You know, look, we were talking about what the American people can do, and the trouble with the people is, I'm saying, they're brainwashed. Because their patriotism, they're ignorant, they're unaware, and so they haven't any reserves. I mean, people don't have food stocks, they don't have any plans, they don't have any unity. You know, people don't like each other, neighbors can't get along. People are more concerned to run down the people they need to be united with.
Well, you're right. On average, America is lazy and rotten. That doesn't mean we don't have good people here, but I've got to tell you, Americans have become lazy and rotten.
Yeah, and they have no awareness. There's no unity. and they're so split and divided, and they're at each other's throats. I'm not just talking about rich and poor. I'm talking about among the poor, among the middle class. You know, it's not a, you know, I don't think the United States is, for a very long time, has ever had any real unity. It's every person for himself, you know. It's even broken up families. It's like that, even with the family.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't give you any possibility of a 1776.
Well, it's a cycle of decadence, though. Every society goes through this, and in the end, it is what it is. We've got to spread the word and do what we can. There is an awakening happening, but you're right. A lot of folks are very decadent. Dr. Roberts, thank you for spending time with us. We look forward to speaking to you again here very soon.
Okay, Alex. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Have a great week coming up. We're going to come back, take your phone calls, cover some other issues. Stay with us. Key Information Straight Ahead. You're the pretender. What if I say I will never surrender? And who are you? Make a choice. Decide which side of history you're on. Are you part of the reality-based community that Karl Rove despises? Or are you someone that wants to be delusional, wants to be conned, who thinks perception is reality, that lives in fantasy lands? This broadcast is about reality. And that's why we're going to win. And America is full of some of the hardest working, smartest, best people on the planet. But yes, many of us have become decadent and slovenly. None of us are perfect. But by realizing that we've been brought up with issues of little or no significance, distracted with things that don't matter, that our minds have been filled with information. You know, the average American doesn't know the three branches of government, but knows all about football or all about baseball or all about acting cool. I mean, we're going to get hurt. We're getting hurt because we become chumps. Let's get streetwise now. And let me tell you, tyranny's a good way for folks to wake up. That's why the globalists are racing to get it in place before you wake up, and they know you're waking up. Roberts is bummed out, you know, because he's been on the inside of it, and he just can't believe how corrupt it's gotten and how ridiculous. And I understand his pessimism at some points, and it's always interesting to have him on, but I'm on the ground. I mean, I'm well-known, and I go all over the country, and I see people everywhere. And let me tell you, it's exponential what's happening. I want to jam in Robert, George Perry, Jasper Aaron, and then that's going to be it. And we'll go back into the key information that we were covering in retransmission, but we're live right now. The big news is Fukushima plant number 2 has melted down. It didn't melt out of the core. The core got damaged and ruptured, and it basically melted through that hole and into the concrete and through the floor. And it could blow up any time or just keep off-gassing radiation 100,000 times safe levels. That's Japanese government. But that's not big news anymore. We've moved on to the latest celebrity scandal. We've moved on to the war and how humanitarian it is, but it's not a war because the government said so. And the ground troops, they're getting ready. They're not ground troops. They're helper humanitarian people. And they're offering you the lie. They're hoping you're lazy and stupid. I know our listeners aren't, but we've got to reach out to the rest of the public and wake them up out of their trance, and it's getting easier and easier. Remember, last hour, we need to make this the number one Google search term today, because I shot a video last night. Aaron's adding all the documents right now. It should be done in the next few hours. It's close to done, but he's still got to upload it to the Alex Jones channel at YouTube. With its one channel, 96 million plus views. And I hope this gets a million views. The headline on the video will be Al-Qaeda 100% Pentagon run. And we already have an article out at Infowars.com that's a data sheet that says Al-Qaeda 100% Pentagon run. And the search term is Al-Qaeda Pentagon run. Put A-L-Q-A-E-D-A, Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, A-L-Q-A-E-D-A, that word in, or Al-Qaeda, however you like, Al-Qaeda Pentagon run. Hit them and hit the NSA Google system hard. Let's show them the power. We've always succeeded, except if I do this at the end of the show, then there's not enough folks to take action to do it. Let's make it number one, Al-Qaeda Pentagon run. Al-Qaeda Pentagon run. Al-Qaeda Pentagon run. Put it in Google and then click and re-enter it over and over again. Let's hit them. Let's hit them hard. I haven't done this in over 3 weeks. We haven't done this. Do it together. Al-Qaeda Pentagon run is the search term, those three words. And the article we'll lead everybody to is Al-Qaeda 100% Pentagon run, with all these links. Libyan rebel leader admits links to Al-Qaeda fighters. Here's another one. Libyan rebel leader admits connection to Al-Qaeda, assets in Iraq. 911 mastermind invited to Pentagon. Al-Qaeda leader dined at Pentagon just months after 9/11. Contrived propaganda tape reveals war on terror fraud. Al Jazeera is a front group for U.S. military industrial complex. Al Zawahiri video is a Pentagon propaganda psyop. 11 reasons why the threat from Al-Qaeda isn't real. Who was behind Al-Qaeda in Iraq? Pentagon acknowledges fabrication of Zarqawi legend. It's all there with the video going up soon. Al-Qaeda, 100% Pentagon run. Search term, Al-Qaeda Pentagon run. All right, let's go to your phone calls. Thanks for holding. George in Connecticut, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. I think we should also try to get Anwar al-Awlaki. We should do some sort of bombing with people who know how to change the WikiLeaks, not WikiLeaks, but the Wiki files that they have on the web for your, the encyclopedia.
Wikipedia.
We should put on, we should put on there that he is a CIA operative run by that and proven by the particular things. That way, when people look this up and we keep changing it to keep bringing that back up if they take it off, That's right.
Hit the Anwar al-Awlaki Wikipedia, one of the top links on him, and real editors of it should be able to do it. All the articles about how he's admittedly CIA, just start hitting it and hitting it and hitting it.
Okay, and another thing I think we should do is we should maybe somebody just like we did for your contest, we should put up ways to put a section off for what one of those I forgot what you call those little boards where it looks like Cheney or the president, and you take pictures in front of it, and we should get one of those, and maybe you can print it out on your printer in pieces, and then make them up, and then we go in front of the Pentagon, the White House, and then here's al-Awlaki, and then he has a dinner.
Oh, well, you can't go in front of the White House and protest because they won't give you a permit, and even if you do, they'll arrest you. This isn't freedom, but I appreciate your call. How dare you in America think you're allowed to protest? I think this is America. Perry in Illinois. Great points, George. Perry, go ahead.
I was watching Democracy Now! Today, and they had this woman on there named Helen Caldicott, and she did research on the thresholds for nuclear materials, not radiation, the actual materials that are used in fissile nuclear reactions. And these materials are deadly at 1 microgram.
Oh, yes.
1 microgram. That's smaller than a grain of dust.
But it's no problem that they're having total Chernobyl meltdown and it's blowing this way. See, again, the background radiation isn't high, but if you get the microgram that's coming in out of the atmosphere, it goes in your lungs, you get lung cancer 2 years later. But see, then they can deny it.
And this whole Libya thing, it's like a wrestling match when the bad guy's coach messes with the ref. And then the bad guy pins the good guy. That's just what the news is like now. It's like a wrestling match where the referee is being distracted. It's ridiculous.
Very good points, Perry. Thank you. Moving quick to get to everybody. Robert in Michigan, you're on the air.
Yes.
Yes.
Alex?
Yes.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening to you quite a bit, though. I'm all excited trying to organize my thoughts. I ran across a couple things on the media the other day that kind of stuck in my craw. I thought maybe you'd be interested.
Sure, tell us.
Radio talk show host, I just happened to run across him. He's apparently trying to start a new fad. When people call in, they ask him how he's doing, and his pat answer is, better than I deserve. And then I noticed that it was turning around, and he was asking people that called in how they were doing, and they say, better than I deserve. And I'm thinking, now what is this better than I deserve thing? I mean, is this guy trying to get American radio listeners to just automatically resign themselves to the fact that they don't deserve what they have?
Well, listen, Robert, I appreciate your call. You're on to something. All over Whole Foods, they have magazines about austerity and how great it is to be poor and how it's good to be robbed and be a chump. And you're hit on something here. People don't like to admit they're under attack. So they're making it stylish to be under attack so they can feel powerful in being losers. It's very sick. I call it the giggling, gibbering slave mentality. Jasper in Oklahoma, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how are you doing?
Good.
And I have a question for you, and this might concern some of your callers. I make under $10,000 a year, right? And I don't have any money. I have two kids. I can't afford to do my Second Amendment. I can't afford non-GMO seeds or gold. What do people like me do in this situation?
You buy a lawnmower and knock on 100 doors, and 20 people will tell you can mow their yard. And then you'll have giant wads of cash in your pockets after mowing the yards.
Well, thank you. And may the force be with you. Victory, not vengeance.
All right, good to hear from you, Jasper. Let's go ahead and talk to Aaron in Nevada. Aaron, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Aaron, GoNop.com, GoNop Radio. Check it out. Here's John in Fukushima. I've been covering this the past 3 weeks. I want to tell people what's going on. They are actually considering decommissioning the Fukushima reactors, which alludes to the fact that they have been trying to salvage them all along.
Okay. No, that's admitted. That's why they didn't. No, they've been trying to save them the whole time.
Exactly. And the president of the company was just admitted into the hospital last night. The whole thing is this issue of the corporatists, just like BP, want to go forward and get through this at the other end. They're citing, the president is citing, they want to provide power for the people of the Fukushima prefecture. And they're also discussing liability and legal ramifications. So this is their whole focus. It's a
No. For what, 18, 19 days, whatever it is now, they've been covering their hind end. And they're also covering up what's happening at the hospitals, the radiation sickness. I wonder why the head of the plant suddenly in the hospital. He should be healthy if he was around radiation, according to Ann Coulter.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Here's the key. He has recently said he wants to cover parts of the plant in a Chernobyl concrete encapsulation, like I've come on here and said on the show previously. But they want to keep a portion of it going.
Well, it's not just that, though. If you have ruptured containment facilities from the explosion, even if you put a sarcophagus around it, it'll burn and melt through that. And it's now done that at number two. We're out of time. Thank you, Aaron. Gator, Sue, we'll have to get to you guys tomorrow. Key information dealing with the fake al-Qaeda threat coming up from the retransmission from the first hour. But there's the headline, Japan nuclear power plant boss in the hospital. The president of the company that owns Japan's stricken Fukushima nuclear power station has been taken to the hospital, and he's suffering from diseases and high blood pressure. Yeah, I bet. Kind of like the president of Egypt disappeared with a stroke. Wonder if he's got radiation sickness. He's been around the Fukushima facility. But he should be great, according to Ann Coulter. Search Al-Qaeda Pentagon Run. Do it right now. Let's make it number one.